much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
We do not have time for this kind of silliness.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
I'm Alana. I'm 6, and I'm a beauty queen.
Brothers must be crazy if they think they're going to be me, honey boo boo child.
I'm super solid because I do pageants.
I want to win money.
A dollar makes me holler, honey boo boo.
I don't even know who this woman is.
Let me ask you, how have you taken care of the, the normal hygienic procedures?
Wow, how disappointing was that question?
You are a disgrace to all Jewish alcoholics.
And now,
nothing seems funny this week.
Our feature presentation.
When you're a disgrace to Jewish alcoholics, that's saying something.
That's low. That is low.
That is.
That's for sure.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning.
And it's 7-Eleven Eve, by the way. Let's not forget that. Tomorrow, the most wonderful day of the year, 7-Eleven.
Dear God, being in his numbers.
And 7-Eleven Eve, yeah. Really.
Yeah, there is no 7-Eleven Eve. That doesn't exist.
There is if you're planning ahead for your free Slurpee tomorrow. Yeah, there is.
But how much planning do you have to do?
You don't
exactly
have to plan ahead for a free Slurpee. You just make a note of it, and if you want to get a free Slurpee, you get it. You don't need to celebrate the day before or plan.
I think you do. I think you need to set your alarm and get up early and beat the crowd. That's what I think, because they might run out of Slurpees.
I don't think you even drink Slurpees.
He doesn't.
It's not, this isn't about me. It's about
yeah,
the people.
That's what I thought.
This
you're
about
such
the
a
people.
Poser.
I'm trying to help the people.
Bean
who love
only
Slurpees.
Cares about other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the
no,
one thing.
Look, no one loves 7-Eleven more than I do. In fact, when I saw that story this week that was making the rounds about the family that couldn't make it to the hospital, they pulled over and gave birth to the little girl in the parking lot of a 7-Eleven.
Sure.
I was so jealous that wasn't me. Like, why couldn't I have been born in the parking lot of a 7-Eleven? That would have been so cool.
And then things went horribly wrong. That would have been so cool.
No. Little girl's nickname is Big Gulp, though, which I think is adorable. All right. That's not a joke, by the way. That's true. Yesterday, you rejected my attempt to tell you about the woman accused of trying to cut off her husband's penis during oral sex. You rejected that story. It is up on the table again for today if you want to choose
okay.
it. Or you can have naked woman prevents paramedics from helping husband's mistress.
See?
Oh, man.
See, I know where, I think I know where the first story is coming from or heading.
Going to.
Yeah, and that's never fun. So I'm going to go with naked woman.
Yeah, that's intriguing.
Wow. This is a disappointment.
Naked woman.
How do you anticipate that what is it you think you know about the woman with the penis?
Well, I know that it gets cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's enough for me. that to me makes it not a very good story. Look, if you want to tell us that one, don't give us another option.
No. I'm just saying.
All right.
But you'd be surprised. It didn't get cut off, for starters. And she didn't use what you might think she might use to want to cut off. But if you don't want to hear about it, that's fine, too.
She bit.
That's what I'm saying. That's what you would expect.
Okay.
But no, that's not
that's
the
not
case.
That's not it.
Wow.
The Philippines is where we go for this one. They say too much love can kill you, but that's not the case here. The article begins. It's more like too much love can make you murder someone. Her name is Shi Zhang. She is 38 years old. She lives in China's eastern Shandong province. Well, she suspected that her husband had been having an affair with a neighbor. And here's how she decided to confront the neighbor, by running the neighbor over with her car.
Okay. So wait, there wasn't a, hey, are you having an affair
nope.
with my husband? Oh, okay.
Nope. Now, she pretty much just followed up on her instincts and
okay.
said, hey, wait a minute. I think I know what's going on with that woman. Step on it. So she runs her down, and then the neighbors call their equivalent of 911 for the paramedics, the emergency personnel, to come. And they come, and the woman, the wife, is trying to get the paramedics to not help the mistress who is laying there bleeding out, and punches the paramedics in the face.
Really? Stay away, she deserves it, that kind of thing?
Yes, exactly. Basically
wow.
gets into a brawl with the paramedics, doing everything she can. So they push her out of the way, and they start applying first aid to the woman. Then they load her up in the back of the ambulance, and they're trying to take her out of the neighborhood. What does the lady do? She strips down naked, and there's photos, and lays down in front of the ambulance so they can't leave.
All right.
That's how much she was confident that her husband was having an affair with this woman, how much she wanted to put a blow on her. Come on.
She's a passionate woman.
Wait, she wanted to put a blow on her.
Yeah, you know, hurt her.
Is that code? Oh, okay.
She now faces murder and attempted murder charges. If she's found guilty, she might even get the death penalty.
Wait, did she die, the mistress?
No, she didn't. There was another person with the mistress who did, though.
Oh.
There were two people that got hit by the car. The mistress was with another person.
Oh, yeah.
So that
God.
Person died, the mistress survived, so now murder and attempted murder.
Here's what I like, though. Husband, guy cheating.
Yep.
Fine.
Good to go.
No good. No problem.
Probably out banging another neighbor.
Wasn't his fault. It was her fault, that hussy.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's hard to put a thought process on a crazy person, but why strip naked to lay in front of the...
Yeah, I don't know. You could lay in
How does that help you?
With clothing.
That's a really good question.
Doesn't seem like you're helping the cause at all, except making you look like the crazy one instead of the injured party.
I think every single one of these stories that we can't figure out, there's a piece missing. That piece is drugs.
Yes, drugs. Or crazy.
In almost every story. Yeah, I don't know why you would take off your clothes. You could just lay in front of it, and it would do the exact same thing.
Exactly,
You said you saw pictures. She hot?
Yes. Well, you know, she's pretty blurred out. But she looks like she's young and she looks like she's thin.
I sort of have a boner.
Two things you look for in hot. So
sure.
I don't know, but times.
Good times. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Beecher, shall we?
Just another day to me.
Huh?
Just another day to me.
Thank you, Lisa.
You're welcome.
LaQuisha will be on the program today. She's very excited that there are two Kardashians back to back. There was one Sunday night, and there was one last night.
She needs to be on suicide watch
now. She's very, very happy. So she's going to give us a recap of what happened last night. I guess last night was the night they introduced Kanye West.
Ah.
So we'll hear about that. We've also got the director of The Amazing Spider-Man.
Coming into the studio.
Mark Webb.
What
he doesn't need to do that. His movie's made $350 million already. What's he doing coming in to talk to us?
He'll probably rethink this.
We're not trying to talk him out of it. I know it sounds like we are, but it's just for us, it doesn't make sense.
No.
Right.
Because
he should be on an island somewhere with hot and cold running hookers, right?
Well, here's the way it usually works. They usually do press like crazy up until opening weekend. And then opening weekend comes, and then everyone is done and moving on. Occasionally, you'll get somebody with a second week interview, but almost never.
And not for a movie this big, because it's not like they could raise the awareness of The Amazing Spider-Man at this point. Everybody knows it's out there, and then it's just a decision of whether they want to go or not.
We have comedian Greg Proops on the program today.
Very funny.
Very excited about that. We have, I don't know, the light heavyweight champion of the world, the UFC, John Bones Jones.
Wow. Yay!
Coming into the studio.
Bear Mug's going to fight him. I heard him say it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He said Jones was a pussy. He said he could take him.
Easily.
Can't wait. That's going to be fun. We have Comic-Con tickets. These are impossible to get.
Completely impossible.
I tried to get a pair, just not even a pair. I tried to get a single ticket for a single day for a really good friend of mine, and I was told in no uncertain terms, absolutely not.
No way.
We are going to Comic-Con in San Diego.
Yes, we are going. And we're going to be broadcasting from there on Thursday. Ralph will be there. And then on Friday, the entire show will be there. But we have your tickets. And yesterday's contest was very, very disappointing. We played the most obvious clips from the most obvious superhero movies.
I knew most of them, so that tells you something.
Yeah, me too. And usually Lisa and I just would never even play these games. But they were super obvious. It was like, hey, Iron Man, what are you doing? And then the guy would go, X-Men? We go, what? So we got another game for you today. Hopefully we'll get bigger fans. We want to make sure we get the fans that really deserve to be
tickets?
There. So that's coming up as well. And we have a world premiere song from The Killers.
Oh, wow.
Very excited about this coming up at 7 o'clock this morning.
Awesome.
Now, are we going to find out today in this new song, Runaways, if we are dancer or we are human? Do we know?
I don't think so.
Answered for us? Because I've been pondering that for the last 2 years.
I've been reading up on this a little bit, and I've not seen that anywhere.
Okay.
So I think we're pretty much on our own with that one. But brand new Killers. It's the world premiere. It's been never heard anywhere else in the world, and we're going to play it at 7 o'clock this morning. So keep listening for that. We will take a break right now, and we'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. That's next.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Joe's on line two, joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's our 4th of July post show, I guess.
That was a moment with Bean.
Wow. Really wanted to put a blow on her there.
Yeah. Maybe recap would have been a good word to come up with.
Post show.
Post show, yeah.
You are all getting dumber for working with me.
Well, it's in very you can't avoid it, I think.
I apologize in advance for all of your stupidity.
It's chemistry.
It really is. Yeah.
If you're in a room with a guy with a cold, you're going to get sick. I mean, that's how it works. 5 till 6 o'clock here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph joins us for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. And by the way, Ralph, today more Dark Knight tickets during your Showbiz too.
I do. So far, right? Giving away tickets for an advanced screening of The Dark Knight Rises, the last in the Christopher Nolan trilogy. You're not doing it here, so everyone put down your phones.
Can't wait.
But and we're also giving away tickets to Comic-Con. We've got passes, which are impossible to get. We've got passes for the Walking Dead Escape, which is an event that they're doing down there at Comic-Con, dedicated to the Walking Dead series. So a lot of cool geek stuff going on. But in this particular hour, I wanted to get to the news because there's a lot of it. So let's get through some of the more important stories. It's leading off with perhaps the most important showbiz story, not only of the week, but maybe of this year.
Wow.
Yeah, it's... Well, it's devastating news, and I just wanted to get it over with. But apparently, after more than 30 years, Chumbawamba have called it quits. I get no doubt, but I get up again. You're never going to beat me down. I get no doubt, but I get up again. You're never going to beat me down. Apparently, they got knocked down, and they're not getting... Goodbye, everybody.
Try it again. No, try it again. It's a timing thing. All right, you say that they broke up again.
Okay, then you're going to play the song again?
And then...
Okay.
All right.
Chumbawamba have called it quits.
I get no doubt, but I get up again. You're never going to beat me down. I get no doubt.
Apparently, they got knocked down and they're not getting back up again.
No! Much better.
Is that better?
All right.
Yeah.
30 years they were together.
Who knew they were together for 30 years?
Who knew they were together for the last 15 for sure?
1982 to 2012.
And they had all those hit.
Yep. Here's their press release. We got to a point where what we did as a band, and specifically the writing, recording, and touring cycle, wasn't doing justice to what Chumbawamba set out to do in the first place.
What
which
writing?
Which was to... fade away into obscurity, because you accomplished that. If that was the goal. So, yeah. Being up to date meant giving plenty of time and energy to the band consistently for those 30 years. A constancy we plainly couldn't keep up with in the end.
All right. Bean is the guy who would know. Did they do anything of note other than that song?
Not in our country. They had some success with other songs in Europe, but not so much. That's they weren't a big star.
They took a lot of time writing, though, apparently, and they just couldn't keep it up.
They were a anarchistic punk group.
They were?
That's not
apparently.
That's not anarchistic.
That's how they spent most of the 80s, yeah.
Huh. They sure weren't punk when they got back up again and had a couple vodka drinks, a couple lager drinks, a couple whiskey drinks. Just saying, they were drinking a lot. So, sorry, Chumbawamba fan. It is all over for that band, so you can mourn today.
That is sad.
And the good news is apparently Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes have officially reached a divorce settlement already.
Wow.
Well, that was quick.
That is called I Don't Want Anyone to Know Any of the Stuff Going On in My Life.
And she wanted out.
Yeah.
I mean, if the news accounts are to be believed, Tom Cruise didn't even know they were getting a divorce 2 weeks ago,
yes.
And now they've already settled? I mean, that's insane.
Yeah.
I'm in love with Katie Holmes! I'm in love with Katie Holmes! I'm not gay! Go see my new movie! I'm in love with Katie Holmes! I'm not gay!
Their marriage ended faster than the relationship began when they started
dating.
That's
crazy.
And that was a whirlwind.
It was like 2 months,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Exactly. Here's what happened. Katie filed for divorce on June 28th, and now it looks like it's all over.
Wow.
Looks like she is getting sole physical custody of Suri, initially, primary physical custody, but Tom will have a lot of custodial time. He'll get a chance to spend weekends, every other weekend, and that kind of stuff with her. And as far as the religion aspect of the divorce, which apparently the child's involvement either in Scientology or Catholicism was a major stumbling block.
No way to see that one coming.
For what these two were going through. Apparently, religion is off the table regarding Suri. You cannot talk to her about your religion, either of them.
Oh, no kidding.
It's going to be a religion-neutral atmosphere for the child.
Is that possible for Scientologists?
I don't know. But apparently that limitation eases, according to sources, as Suri gets older and starts to develop her own ideas or ask questions about religion, then you can have conversations with her about it. But at six, they're going to leave it alone for now.
All right.
And the financial stuff had already been worked out before they ever got married, so really not too much, I guess, to hammer out. But it looks like it's all said and done, which for entertainment reporters everywhere is just a sad, sad day.
It really is.
We got nothing else to go with, really. We got Chumbawamba, if it's not for Tomcat. See? Once again, they got knocked down, and they are not getting back up again. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Sofia Vergara.
Yes.
From Modern Family. Is 40 years old. That is there a better looking 40?
No.
Walking around today?
No.
No. Adrian Grenier of Entourage, 36 years old today. Thomas Ian Nicholas from American Pie Films turns 32. Singer Jessica Simpson is also 32. Is there a worse looking 32 walking around today?
I don't think so.
You know, she announced she is not making a line of bridal gowns as was initially reported this week. She was supposed to. They said she was going to extend her fashion line by releasing a line of wedding gowns that she designed.
Mm-hmm.
She said apparently that was a rumor. That is not true. She has no plans on doing any wedding gowns at this time. She is, however, doing some tents. If you want to get a Jessica Simpson tent, they will be available. Have you seen her lately? The baby
weight is not falling off.
Yeah.
I feel like she's gained weight since she had the
baby. That's not baby weight.
Well, maybe it wasn't. And Peter DiStefano of Porno for Pyros fame turns 47 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Tonight.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 minutes after 6 o'clock. At the end of that song, they say, I'll carry you home tonight. You needed that kind of friend beer mug.
Yeah.
When you woke up in a bush.
Yeah.
Friday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to do a grand prize drawing of Road Trip USA 2012 Destination Number 2. This is your chance to see Bush or Deftones or STP or any number of other great bands anywhere you want within the United States. You can qualify by winning tickets to see all of them at the Epicenter coming up the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater on September 22nd, and that is happening on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show.
Here's what we like about the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO. It's an answering machine, 24 hours a day. You can call with your thoughts. Overwhelmingly positive. Really, just a lot of love.
Yeah, that's been my experience.
So when we listen to it back, we're all very excited to hear it because it really kind of boosts our spirits and makes us really want to keep doing what we're doing.
You know, guys, next time you do a best of Kevin and Bean, leave out fear mud. God, I just want to kill him. No more fear mud when you go away.
Dare you.
Agreed.
Right. Agreed. And that shall be passed.
I just can't put my finger on it, but Showbiz Beat seems a lot better this week for some reason.
Let's
wonder go. What that could be. Kevin and Bean, you suck.
Wow.
So you got that.
So
all
two
right.
for
so
two, boys.
We got Beer Mug, we got us. Okay, good. Me.
Kevin, you're not allowed to play poker anymore. Asshole.
That's my story from sitting down at the wrong table at the World Series of Poker that
playing
I told yesterday.
Playing somebody else's chips.
Although we do really, really love the crazy people, and I do more than anyone. And this crazy woman calls, and we really have no idea what she's talking about. There's usually no context. She says what she says, and you're left to just try to, you know, figure it out yourself.
I don't employ any of these people. My budget is $40.
Okay.
She can't employ much at all.
I don't know what people she's talking about or anything else, but she does not have a large budget. That I have learned.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, this is Swan, and I really miss you guys. Feel free to send me an email today or tomorrow.
Fantastic. Dewan has a girlfriend, by the way. It's not really on us.
What?
He's kind of dropped out a little bit. We don't hear from him much anymore.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He's got a serious girlfriend.
Same with Gerald Polly. Odd.
Oh, God. Bean, I hate you. With your sweet beads and, oh, my sweet Zach. And, oh, God, you're gross. God, I've never wanted to hit someone and pin them down and their so bad.
I'm not exactly sure what he has in mind for you because of the beeps.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's not good.
It sounded painful. Is there anyone left unscathed in this report, by the way?
I don't believe so.
This round of Afro calls is getting us all.
Me, maybe.
All right, you're always off the hook. So what? The next person, remember when Ralph used to bring in a song and then he would read emails that rhymed with it and then he would sing... Nobody liked it, but he kept doing it because nobody liked it.
Right.
That's what this next Afro calls.
Hey, Ralph.
I just want to let you know that I've been on a new diet, and it's been very successful. I've lost about 30 pounds. The diet is a little unusual, but it works. All I am allowed to eat is broccoli, beets, and carrots. Broccoli, beets, and carrots. Beets and carrots. Broccoli, beets, and carrots. Beets and carrots. Broccoli, beets, and carrots. Beets and carrots. Broccoli, beets, and carrots. Broccoli, beets, and carrots. Okay. Broccoli, beets, and carrots.
Wow.
Do you think that just came to him, or has he been crafting that joke for the last 7 years trying to get it?
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
Sorry, dude.
Oh, it wasn't Barack Obama making sex sounds at my door. It was Charles Latabodier.
Wow.
Okay.
All right. Bean, do you know who that is? I don't.
Nope.
Okay. She thought for a minute that Barack Obama was making sex sounds outside her door.
I've heard that happens.
With Barack Obama?
Yeah.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do to get votes, man.
And you remember this song, of course.
I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the best.
That's what this next call is about.
I'm comedian. He thinks he's the best. No, slash. Armenian comedian. He thinks he's the best. Standing on a stage, confusion in the air. Don't know where the punchline is. There's silence in the air. No, slash. Yes, he'll be those who want to tell themselves so confident. He makes 50 bucks a night without even earning it. If he would stop performing, I would pay $1 million. You know what? Big number. I would pay $1 gillion. Armenian comedian. He thinks he's the best. No, slash.
You need to go to Dr. Good College to understand all of you, you stupid heads.
That's a good point. 323-520-AF.
I don't know how much news you watched over the 4th of July holiday weekend, but these heat records are falling like crazy. Something like over 4,000 individual heat records for the date fell across the United States over the past week.
Sweet.
It's been insane. I mean,
stupid Al Gore.
I mean, it's clearly Al Gore's fault. I mean, places like Kansas have been 115 degrees. Atlanta, 107. Washington, D.C., 105. I mean, they just don't see temperatures like that in places like this.
But the news loves it so much.
They sure do. They latch on to weather, don't they?
They do. They talk about how hot it is. They talk to people who have nothing to say about it. Here's a little montage of some of the local news talking about the heat.
One of the most preventable accidents we get them every summer. That's what happens when you leave a child in a hot car.
Mark, it is hot out here. You can actually see the heat waves rising up from the pavement, almost kind of burns your feet. For Shane Bulkley and his kids, it's not too hot to build sandcastles under the summer sun.
It is really hot out here. You could feel the asphalt and everything is not the way it should be out here.
I like the cold much better than the heat.
But when you don't have a choice on a hot summer day, there's just no substituting ice cream as a cooling off measure.
Keep yourself hydrated.
That's probably the best advice.
Yes.
So what do you need to keep hydrated? What do you got here
just
for him?
Just drink Gatorade juice and something.
How are you holding up in the heat?
Not good.
Staying cool will be the challenge this week, with valley temperatures expected to sizzle.
We might go to the beach, sit next to the cool air in my room.
I was in the sun. It was like super hot.
There you go. So you got that kind of coverage.
All right.
I love it so much when they talk to people about what they're going to do to stay cool. I love. First of all, they talk to people that so that they can get them on camera saying it sure is hot out here.
Right.
And then they have to go into, well, I'm going to sit in front of the air conditioner, or I'm going to go to the beach, or I'm going to drink lots of fluids. They fill up 15 minutes of every newscast with this every time it gets over 100 degrees. What up?
And they go into like a drink store, somebody that's already has a drink in their hand. They go, how are you going to keep, how are you going to keep cool? I'm going to drink this. And they waste no interviews either. They put everybody on whether they have something to say or not. But we have our own reporter. He is a retired local news reporter named Doug Kriegel.
Doug Kriegel from Channel 4 is back with us.
Doug Kriegel from Channel 4. We've hired him on as our part-time reporter for instances like this, when the heat gets to be just too much.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you guys doing?
We're fine. We're fine, Doug. How's retirement been? Do you miss doing the Channel 4 news?
I'm so glad to be back and out working for you guys, because I really miss being a reporter in the street and talking to people.
I didn't hear the end of that, but...
You're not talking about interviewing people at drink stores all over Southern California.
I was curious about that reference. What is a drink store, Kevin?
You know, stores where they sell drinks.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you.
So, Doug, you're the guy for all those decades on KNBC they used to send out to try to make a news story out of how hot it is.
Or... news, Pete. I'll have you know that the heat is news, and that's why I'm out here covering it for you guys.
Yeah, and still having problems breathing, though, it sounds like.
Well, it's so hot out.
Not right now.
It is. It's already 118
degrees. It's not.
I don't think that's accurate. I don't think it's that hot at all.
It's unbelievable. The sun is barely up, and yet people are bursting into flames as they walk down the street. Don't leave your children inside a car with the windows rolled up when 118 degrees.
That's a good tip. Good advice, yeah.
They will pop.
That's a good tip.
Yeah.
Or your pets. Like a hamster in a microwave.
Yeah, you would not know.
Because that will not come out of your upholstery.
Well, I think it's more important that the kid dies than
you can always make another kid, but you can never get those stains out of your apartment.
That's an excellent point. So what kinds of things besides the drink store are people doing to stay cool on an exceptionally hot day like today, Doug Kriegel?
Down at Drinks R Us, where I went to talk to most of the people. The most popular drink store in Southern California.
That is, yes.
People are just staying hydrated.
And I recommend,
if you want to stay hydrated, water, juice, or something.
Okay. That is what that person said, or something.
And you can't beat ice cream when it comes to staying cold.
That's true. That was another really good tip.
But if there's no ice cream, I recommend a snow cone.
A snow cone.
Or a Slurpee.
Oh, interesting.
Slurpee. Or something from the frozen food aisle of your local supermarket. Just chew on some frozen peas.
These are some good tips that you've
Cover your body in frozen broccoli.
What?
Cover your body in frozen broccoli.
Have you tried that?
I have frozen broccoli in my pants right now.
I don't doubt that.
And it's quickly thawing.
I'll bet it is.
Perhaps we better let you go get it and change that, I guess.
Would you like some broccoli?
No, it's got a lovely cheese sauce on it.
No, thank you.
If the next hour, the 7 to 8 o'clock hour, sucks on the Kevin and Bean Show, it's our fault because it is loaded for greatness. Because the smartest man in the world, Greg Proops, is going to be here. Because we've got your tickets for Comic-Con to be at the San Diego Convention Center for the sold-out festival this weekend. And we got a world premiere of a little band called The Killers and the new song called Runaways. That's going to be right at the top of the hour. All of that happening between 7 and 8 this morning here on the World Famous K-Rock.
First, my wife Melissa is in the studio.
Good morning.
Now, you're not the bad lady who comes in the middle of every single summer and says the words back to school, are you? That's not what this is about, is it?
It is.
We try to limit it to two times a year. One time is back to school. One time is the holidays, Christmas,
Hanukkah. But how can we be talking about back to school already? It's a million degrees out.
I know, Bean, but you know what? School starts early this year. The mean people who run the schools are making a start by August 15th. So we've got a lot of work to do. I have a lot to talk to you about.
Okay.
All right. What do you need?
So as you know, Kevin, I have a foundation, Friends and Helpers, and we support victims of abuse. And we have to get going on back to school. Kids have to have backpacks to go back to school. It's not like it's a choice. We've got to have them. They got to have supplies.
If they're pencils, pens, you know, that kind of stuff.
Paper, everything that you need.
They don't bring it. The teacher puts them on the spot and says, how come you don't have your supplies? And then they have to go, they don't really want to explain that they live in a shelter. Yeah. They had to run from their dad. So that's really rough.
It's really rough. And what our goal is to help children and mothers get the self-esteem back that they have lost in these situations of abuse. So what we're doing is we are trying to provide, our goal is to provide 3,000 backpacks for the kids who need them. And make it so that the mothers can get these backpacks, give them to their kids. It gives the mom self-esteem, and it gives the kids self-esteem. So when they go to school, they fit in like everybody else. They have their backpacks. And everybody has a fond memory, except maybe Bean, of getting their back-to-school supplies and feeling really great. And they're the first time they get their backpack, and it's a big deal, you know, when you start school. And you make lifelong friends, and it's kind of starts your whole world. So it's very important that we do this. And you, the K-Rock listener, who time and time again have shown us that you are there to help us. We're reaching out to you. And no matter what you think, no matter what you have, it's more than these people have.
Yeah, the problem is that victims of abuse run in the middle of the night sometimes. The mom takes the kids, and they literally have to run with nothing but the clothes on their back.
It's unbelievable.
So they have zero. And all the people that we're helping are in some kind of a treatment program.
Yes.
They're getting help. They're trying to help, you know, get a job.
Restart their lives
from the ground up. And they have literally nothing. So when it comes to school time, buying a backpack is something that they, you know, they're working on food.
Right. They don't have this money. They're just trying to keep their kids fed. And this is where you can really help us. If you go to friendsandhelpers.org, it's very simple. You can make a donation there. You can adopt a backpack and change an entire kid's life. And seriously, one random act of kindness can change a person's life. And we're really looking for you to help us do that. It's very simple. Just go to the site and you can just work your way right through it. We're going to be out on Saturday, July 21st at Lone Mart's parking lot at 5805 Sepulveda. All the info's on our website.
Pete's Coffee. It's in Van Nuys.
It's in Van Nuys. Thank you, Bean. Pete's Coffee's going to be there. We're going to have food. We're going to have a raffle.
We're going to have 3,000 backpacks and 10 million pencils and rulers and... We need you to help us fill the backpack so that then we can deliver them to the center so they can give them to the moms so the moms can give them to the kids.
And we need your donations in order to get all the backpacks and supplies. And we're going to have a raffle. And maybe you're not able to donate, but maybe you work at a company and you can donate a raffle item for us.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Which would be great.
Yeah.
And that helps us get the funds to buy the items that we need. And, you know, there's just so many people out there that come to us and say that they need help. And we want to make sure.
We have to turn people away every year.
That's the hardest part.
And we're doing 3,000 this year. 3,000 kids. And we had to say no to a bunch.
Isn't that sad?
Because
it's sad.
Of, you know, we
I mean, you just can do so much.
We can only do so much, yeah. Right.
Right. And the thing is that for every kid we get a backpack to, we're changing a life. And we really seriously are.
For the
are.
Kid and for the mom.
And for the mom. And these moms, knowing that they can help their kids, they feel a little bit better. And, you know, this is not like – this backpack may follow them for the next 7 years of school.
Oh, that's a good point.
And that's something really important to know, that we're going to be helping them all the way through. So, if you know, go to the website. If you have questions, shoot us an email. We'll get right back to you.
Go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com. We have it up there where you can link to friendsandhelpers.org.
Absolutely. And we really appreciate your support. You know, helping these victims of abuse is going to help us break the cycle. I know it's rough out there. I know the economy's hard. But any help you can give us is so appreciated. We're doing all the work ourselves. We're out in our garage. Kev's been working on the website all weekend. So, yeah. You know, show him your love because he's a little grouchy about it. So we need your help.
It does take a lot of time. And the one thing that I like to point out every single time we talk about this is the IRS says that if you run a charity like we do, you only have to give 5% of the money that you raise to the actual cause. You can use 95% for overhead.
Overhead, quote unquote.
Right. So you can take salaries and you can have big warehouses and all that kind of stuff. But we take care of all the costs. So 100% of what you give is tax deductible and also goes to help a specific kid get a specific backpack.
Yeah. Right. Which is very important.
We've worked really hard on that to make sure that stays the same so that people know every penny goes to what it is that they want it to go to. Remember when the Red Cross was raising money? Was it for Katrina?
It was for Katrina.
And half the money people found out wasn't even going to Katrina.
Yeah.
They were just putting in their general fund. And right. they do great work and they're necessary. But this is one of those deals where you really can be assured that it is going to go 100% to these little kids that have been, unfortunately, living in a house where there's physical and mental abuse.
Right. And the mental abuse, I think people underestimate, that is even more powerful than the physical because that stays with you and breaking that is so difficult. So please, you know, check out friendsandhelpers.org. Reach out. Give us some help. Join us on the 21st in the Lone Mart parking lot on Sepulveda and Van Nuys next to the Target. You know, go to your local Pete's. They have boxes up. You can donate there. You know, come join us. Help us out. We'd love to have you. Your kids can get community service. You know, we're trying to help you help us in any way that we can. And we really do appreciate your support. We couldn't do it without the K-Rock family. And we just can't thank you enough.
Here's what happens every year. Melissa starts to freak out because we can't do it. She's like,
thank you, honey.
3,000 backpacks. There's no way we can do it. And then she comes on the air. And then people listening do so much that she's completely shocked every year because it really is amazing.
Yeah.
But that's a learning deficiency if you're surprised every year, right?
It is.
Let me just throw a PS on here, because the reason we like to have Melissa on to talk about this event every year is because it's a numbers game, because we have many hundreds of thousands of people who are listening to K-Rock, and you can donate a small amount and it will add up very, very quickly. If you're listening right now and thinking, yeah, but it's tight for me too and I don't have that much to give, I mean, literally, am I wrong, Melissa? $5 makes a big difference, because you
Absolutely.
Multiply that over a lot of people and all of a sudden now you got some real money that you can deal with.
If every one of your strippers and all your crazy people out there gave $5
Those are people.
Some of that $5 is mine.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of it's Kevin.
So let's send it back.
It does go Kevin to stripper and then right back into the charity.
Absolutely.
So
yes.
Whatever it is, $5 or $10, whatever you can give, or if it's time and you know time you can give, then you can come to down to the event that's coming up on the 21st too. And all of that information is linked from KevinAndBean.com or KRock.com. It goes right to friendsandhelpers.org.
But the best thing that you could do, if you can, is to sponsor a backpack, and that's $25.
That's correct.
The whole thing. And if you know the price of backpacks, that's really good.
That is very reasonable.
We get that on a huge bulk system. So we get that. We get the pencils.
That's
full
awesome.
Of all of the school supplies, everything for $25. So if you can do that, that would be awesome. And if not, then you can do less. And if you can't do anything, but you've helped us in the past, thank you for that.
And we do thank you. And seriously, from the bottom of my heart, Friends and Helpers would not exist without the K-Rock listener. And I'm so grateful. So thank you so much.
We don't usually do serious topics on the show, and I certainly don't. But this is one that has really – when you see people's lives changed, it's just amazing. And the fact that it takes so little is really fantastic.
Yeah.
So go to KevinAndBean.com or KRock.com, and then you can take the link, and it'll take you to Friends and Helpers.
And isn't it hilarious that Kevin, a guy who hated school more than anyone in the world, is the guy who's trying to keep kids in school?
I didn't hate school. I loved it. I just skipped classes and goofed around.
The learning part, that's what you skipped.
I was sort of a little dick, I got to be honest. But these kids are coming out of a situation that no person, let alone kid, should have to try and make sense of. You know, a dad that comes home drunk and starts hitting them or whatever.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff nobody should have to live with. And Melissa was abused in an earlier marriage, and she's still...
Hey, she's being abused in this marriage, too. She just hasn't realized
it
yet.
Hear that, people.
In a different way.
But honestly, she's still dealing with the mental part of what that does to you. It's not something that somebody can just say, oh, I'm sorry, and then it goes away. It's really one of those deep-seated things that causes a lot of trouble. So if you can help, that would be fantastic.
And we really appreciate it and just can't thank you enough. And thanks for having me. I appreciate the time.
I think we all appreciate what you guys do.
Thanks.
What she does, really.
Mostly Melissa. Let's be real.
I'm just the pretty face spokesman.
That's what he is.
She does all the work.
At Taco Bell, we're sure that you'll love our new Cantina Bowl features. All new herb-roasted marinated chicken, flavorful black beans, cilantro rice, and a roasted corn and pepper salsa. Come to Taco Bell and try the new Cantina Bowl today. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It is the world-famous K-Rock, and it is 6:51.
We can't get that at the drink store, can we, Lisa? They don't sell it there, do they?
No.
No, not at the drink store.
No, they don't have them there.
Just drinks at the drink store.
Yeah, that's all they have. Drinks are
brand new music from The Killers. It's been a long time coming. The album will be called Battleborn. We're going to be hearing Runaways, world premiere, new Killers coming up next. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday. Kevin and Bean Show, what's going on, Ralph?
Can you feel the excitement in the air as we approach Comic-Con? Can you sense it? Do you feel the crackle of excitement?
I know, I'm excited.
Well, you're a big sci-fi and comic book fan from way back, Kevin.
That's true.
Great news. Monday, July the 16th, the Monday after Comic-Con, the CW has announced they will be airing a documentary from 8 to 8:30, and then an encore presentation from 8:30 to 9. Documentary called The Batmobile! The Batmobile!
It's not even a story.
It is a story.
That is not even a story.
Since its inception in the late 1930s, Kevin, there have been multiple.
Right, but who cares?
Multiple versions of the world's greatest crime-fighting piece of technology.
Ralph loves
Justice
Batman
on
so much.
Wheels, the Batmobile. All six of the TV and movie Batmobiles, by the way, are going to be on display at the Comic-Con in San Diego.
Oh, we're going
right
to have
outside,
such a hard time tearing you away from
right
that.
Outside the convention center. You will, of course, get the most recent Christian Bale, Batman, the Tumbler, of course. You get the Val Kilmer. You get the Michael Keaton.
Do you mind if I tell a quick story?
You know what else you get? Adam West's 1966 TV Batmobile will also be on display.
Mind if I tell a quick story about Ralph?
I'll be humping it
at his wedding. No joke. Showed up in a Batmobile.
I was chauffeured to my wedding in the Batmobile, the 1966 Batmobile.
The height of geekdom.
If not, is the height of awesome, you mean?
A Batmobile. The fact that she went through with that marriage is shocking.
You don't know what she shot down. You don't know what I suggested we'd actually
you
do.
You wanted more than that?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Wow.
There was a bat-themed cake I was going to have. I was toying with the idea of us getting dressed in costume, being married as Batman and Catwoman.
Lame.
There were lots of possibilities that wedding could have had.
You are very
And
lucky.
One by one, they all got shot down until all I was left with was me arriving in the Batmobile.
That was too much, by the way.
It was not too much. It was hardly enough. But anyway, I just want to give you the heads up on Monday.
All right.
We got that to look forward to. By the way, if you're going to be down there at Comic-Con in San Diego, Saturday night, the Late Late Show at the House of Blues, it's Kevin Smith and I doing Hollywood Babylon.
I wondered if you're going to do
that. Yeah, we're doing our annual Hollywood Babylon Comic-Con version. So the House of Blues, which is a great venue, by the way, will be there. I think the Aquabats are playing earlier in the evening, and then we're the Late Show. So it's going to be a cool event.
Are they arriving in the Aquabatmobile?
I think they will be. It's the Bat Sub, I think
it's
they use, because they're
get,
Aquabats.
Tough to get people there, too, at Comic-Con. Usually it's
That's
wide,
not our crowd.
Wide open.
That's not our crowd, usually, but...
Listen,
we'll
since you're talking all about Calvin Hyde, would this be a good time to open up the phones? Because you know, coming up after the Killers song at the top of the hour, Ralph, we're going to be giving away passes for Comic-Con for the San Diego Convention Center.
We have tickets, and that's unbelievable that we have tickets, because this thing sells out months in advance. But we do have passes. Yeah, we'll be doing our game, the Comic Contest.
Now listen, don't be lame.
You must know superheroes if you want to go to this damn thing. You must.
Yesterday we played about half of the movie from the Avengers. And the guy was like,
is it the Incredible Hulk?
I don't know. I'm like, what? Yeah. So know your comics if you want to call and you want to go to the Comic-Con.
Yeah, here's what the game will be. I'll even give you the heads up. We will be giving you the secret origins of a dozen or so superheroes. You just have to identify the superhero we're describing. We'll tell you how they came to be, what their secret origin is, and then you just have to say what superhero we're talking about. And we're not going to go with the big ones either. We're not going to go with, he came to this planet in a rocket ship from his parents sent him from another planet.
Newt Gingrich.
See? We're not going to do that. We're going to be like B level, like second tier ones, just to get a little deeper. Deeper cuts, as they say in the music business.
We made it the easiest it could be yesterday, and
about half of them
missed it.
I don't like those people, and
that's
I don't like
fine.
That. I want to make it tougher. I want real people to earn it.
All right, so 1-800-520-1067. If you know your superheroes, call now. We're giving away Comic-Con tickets coming up next here on the Kevin Amin Show.
Yeah. See, if Tom Cruise had gone to his wedding in a Batmobile, he'd probably still be married today. But no, it looks like Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes have officially reached a divorce settlement.
That is, you said an hour ago, the quickest divorce settlement ever.
It's remarkable.
That's
unbelievable.
Crazy.
They have settled custody issues with their 6-year-old daughter, where they're going to live, where the kid's going to live. Everything has just been ironed out. Bam.
Is it possible that was all in the prenup? And that way there's nothing to hammer out?
Okay. I don't believe so, because I know the custody thing was a real sticking point, and the sources are also saying there are certain agreements that had to be made regarding teaching the kid religion. Scientology and Catholicism being at issue here. Both of them had to agree not to enforce any religious beliefs on the child, at least at this age, and then that limitation will ease as she gets older. So
that's good.
Seemed like there are things that definitely had to be ironed out, but... They both went into this marriage with their eyes wide shut, and this is what happened.
Oh, Godfile!
You'd think it'd be a mission impossible these details worked out in such a quick manner.
You're
but
not gonna start that.
I guess they had all the right moves there in place, and endless love is what they were looking for. But anyone knows that marriage can be a risky business, and you just don't know.
Why are you doing this? There could be people listening right now because of the Killers thing, and this is what you're doing?
I don't know. I think after 4, I was angry. Now I'm back on board.
Honestly, neither are swayed by the color of money, because they've had that worked out in the prenup. They both know what kind of money they're going to get. But there's a few good men out there, and I think Katie will find one.
There's no room.
Some point after this is all over, I hope.
Love it.
Let's get to today's celebrity birthdays. Peter DiStefano of Porno for Pyros turns 47 years old today. Sofia Vergara.
That's what I'm talking
lovely
about.
Lovely and talented star of Modern Family turns 40 years old today. We've never had her on our show, have we?
I don't think so.
Why can't we interview her?
Is she in that new Woody Allen movie, too? Is she in From Rome with Love?
I believe she is.
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
Adrian Grenier of Entourage fame is 36 years old. Thomas Ian Nicholas
in all the American Pie movies, 32, and singer Jessica Simpson is 3,200 pounds. And also turns 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's always fantastic to have great new music from one of our favorite bands. That's The Killers. That is the world premiere of Runaways, the first time it's ever been heard, and we will play it for you. We should play it again next.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, I would like to hear it again. We also have it up at krock.com or kevinamine.com if you want to check it out there, including a new interview with Brandon Flowers where he talks about the history of that song, how it was originally written back in 2009, and they hadn't figured out what to do with it until now. But it is going to be the first single from their brand new album, which is coming out in September. That is New Killers. Here on the world famous K-Rock. All right, Greg Proops joins us in a few minutes. He is the smartest man in the world, don't you know? He's got a new TV show debuting tonight. That's coming up right now, though. We want to give away some tickets for Comic-Con. It's our latest Comic contest.
I'm sorry, I did that too early again.
No, nope, it was fine. It worked out. It worked
timing,
out good.
Timing.
He was hitting the post there. He just good. Let it go. Let it roll.
All right, say it again.
It's our new Comic contest.
Comic contest. You want to go.
Hey, Omar didn't get a vacation, right? Because it sounds like maybe he needs one.
Yeah.
Say it. He's had too much time in the lab back there. That's
did
all.
Not.
All right, Ralph Garman, once again, you're going to be following Kevin and Bean down to Comic-Con this year as we broadcast live again this year. We're going to be Friday
so
morning.
Co-signed my world.
Friday morning, we're going to be at the Movies on Demand, Movies on Demand Lounge in the Hard Rock Hotel in San Diego. Ralph will be down there Thursday. We'll all be down there on Friday. And you want some listeners to be able to join us and go to the convention. What's up?
We've got all weekend passes for Comic-Con, all 4 days.
Oh. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
It's ridiculous. You can't get these. We've got them. We want to give them away, but we want to give them to people who know comics. Why would we give them just to the yahoos who don't know anything about comics? So we're going to some deep-cut superheroes here. We're going more than just the big ones, more than Spider-Man and Superman and Batman. We're going to go a little bit deeper. I'm going to give you the secret origin of the superhero. You just have to identify what hero I'm talking about. If you know comics, it's simple as pie.
All right.
That's
Pie Man.
That's Pie Man's secret origin, by the way. And by the way, do you notice all the ladies who have called in? All the ladies we have.
There have been some.
We've got three or four.
Have
ladies
you screamed
online
that
here.
Way?
I haven't. No, it just happened.
Not lie, sir.
It just happened. I swear to you. I was busy working these up in the other room. These questions.
All right. Let's begin with Ryan. Hi, Ryan.
Hello,
Ryan. Here is your secret origin. A millionaire playboy is shipwrecked on a deserted island and develops extraordinary archery skills in order to survive.
Is that Nighthawk?
No, I'm sorry, sir. It's Green Arrow. Green Arrow. Oliver Queen was the millionaire playboy deserted on that island, and that's how he learned how to use a bow and arrow. Was he had to?
Now, why wouldn't the word archery have been enough for him to at least guess the Green Arrow?
I have no idea, Bean. I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted with the people who have been calling in for these games.
Well, let's try Tom. Hi, Tom.
I mean, even if you've never heard of any of these people
right.
before.
How many archery superheroes do you know of? There's Hawkeye and there's Green Arrow. That's pretty much it.
I took a 50-50 shot. That's not bad.
He didn't even come up with Hawkeye, though.
Oh, I thought that's what he said.
No, he said something else, didn't
Nighthawk.
He? Nighthawk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe that's what he's thinking. Yeah. All right. Let's go to Tom. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how you doing?
There you go, Tom. Here's your secret origin. A young man tries to save a blind man from getting hit by a truck when the radioactive waste the truck was carrying spills out directly into his eyes.
Daredevil.
Daredevil's
nice.
Correct, sir. Well done.
All 4 days. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Hold You're on. Going. It's just that easy. Just right. that easy.
Let's go to Tiffany. Hi, Tiffany.
Hi, how's it going?
Very good, Tiffany. Tiffany, do you know your superheroes?
I think I know them pretty good. I hope so.
Let's give it a shot.
Okay.
A lighthouse keeper and an outcast from the lost underwater city of Atlantis fall in love and give birth to a remarkable young man.
Was it Aquaman?
Aquaman is correct.
Yes, nicely done.
Well done,
All
Tiffany.
All 4 days, Tiffany.
Tiffany is so hot, too, by the way. So hot, isn't she?
All Tiffany's are, right?
Yes, that's one of those names. Like Heather, you just can't go wrong.
Let's go to Christine. Hi, Christine.
Hi.
This may be more difficult, Christine. Here's your secret origin. A once gifted but egotistical surgeon who, after an accident, sought out the Ancient One to heal his wounded hands, instead trained to become the Sorcerer Supreme of Earth.
What?
Dude. Oh, man, why do you hate me?
I don't hate you.
I'm embarrassed that one got written.
He hates you.
Big Marvel superhero.
Sorcerer Marvel...
It's a strange one, I'll admit.
I got nothing.
Oh, Kevin was trying to help you there. Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange is the superhero we're looking for.
Trying to get you.
Sorry, sorry about that.
Sorry, Christine. I'm sad.
I feel bad for her.
Because we don't get that many girls
calling. Yeah, I should have flipped them around. I should have given her this one instead of the one I gave her.
Al, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Al, a combination of a bath of various chemicals combined with a striking lightning bolt turned police scientist into the fastest man alive.
The Flash.
The Flash, indeed, sir. You're correct.
That happened. That's real, too, by the way.
He got bathed by chemicals while getting hit by lightning. It was the worst combination of things ever.
All 4 days. Congratulations. Hold on.
It seems so unique until his friend, Wally West, got also bathed in chemicals and hit by a bolt of lightning. Also.
What are the chances?
That seemed to be pretty prevalent.
And, of course, he became Kid Flash.
Sure. You don't have to tell us.
Obviously.
Yeah. Let's go to Zach. Hi, Zach.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Zach, an alien is transformed into a space-traveling herald by a devourer of worlds. He rebels against him to help save the Earth.
Ooh, that would be the Silver Surfer.
Correct, sir. Nicely well done, Zach.
See, that's the kind of guy we want going.
That's who we need.
All 4 days. Congratulations.
How are we numbers-wise? Anyone keeping track?
We have one more.
One more, all right.
One more pair to give away?
Yep. Let's go to AJ. Hi, AJ.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
AJ, an ancient wizard gives a young orphan the ability to summon the powers of six godlike figures by uttering a magic word.
Hello?
AJ's gone. AJ's left.
He went back to bed. Abe Lincoln, did you say?
Yeah.
Abe Lincoln.
Vampire Hunter?
Abe Lincoln.
No, I'm blanking. I'm blanking.
Oh, you're blanking. Oh, you're blanking. Oh. Abe Lincoln.
I was going to give it to you for Abe Lincoln. That's funny.
Can I hear it again?
Oh, sure. Mm. An ancient wizard gives a young orphan the ability to summon the powers of six godlike figures by uttering a magic word.
I've got nothing.
No, I'm sorry, sir. That's Captain Marvel. That magic word, of course, is Shazam! We got
AJ,
one more?
You should have known that.
Should we try Cecilia?
Yeah, we can't go out on that one.
No, let's see if Cecilia can win this one.
Cecilia, hi.
Hi there.
Now, you got to come through for us. We want to end on an up note. And we want to actually have a few girls there.
There's tons of girls at Comic-Con. All right, here's your question, Cecilia. A dying alien crime fighter gives a test pilot the ultimate weapon that is powered by strange energy and sheer willpower.
That would be the Green Lantern.
Green Lantern is correct. Yeah.
She did it.
Cecilia, well done.
She did it. There's going to be a girl there. Congratulations.
You'll be beating the geeks off with a stick when you're down there, Cecilia.
Comic contest.
Brand new Killers on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. That is called Runaways.
I like it. No one cares what I think, but I like it. So there.
Okay.
Hey, Greg Proops.
Good morning, Bean.
Welcome back, the smartest man in the world. Good to see you.
It's nice to be here, baby.
Greg is here because he's got a bunch of things going on, not only the very popular podcast, of course, but you are back on the TV. Is that starting tonight at 9 o'clock on ABC? What's up?
Very correct, sir. Yes, it's called Trust Us With Your Life. It's all the Who's Line guys, the producer of Who's Line. And me and a lot of your Who's Line favorites, the show-offy black guy, Wayne Brady, the balder, older fellow from Canada, whose name I always forget, Colin, I think it is.
Okay. Canada, okay.
Jonathan Mangum, who's Wayne Brady's biatch in real life, okay. And me. And the first episode, Serena Williams. Fred Willard hosted, who's awesome.
Fred Willard. When you're talking about improv, is he the king of the improv? I mean, there's no one better than that dude,
I
right?
think he is, yeah. I mean, I love Fred Willard, and what a love bug to work with. He's just so funny all the time. I think he is the king of the improv. Well, I mean, Jonathan Winters would be the ultimate emperor of improv. We all bask in his comprehensive glow. But Fred is awesome. And, yeah, we shot it in London. Don't ask me why. But we did get to go to England. That was fun.
All right.
And the hotel we stayed at was really floofy and had, like, Barbara Cartland rooms that were all pink and stuff. My wife was like, what's this? And I'm like, I love it. I feel like a princess. Every time I go to bed, there's a pink pillow and a candy. So I enjoyed it.
So explain the show.
It's about half an hour. And there's commercials in between.
No, I mean, explain what it's about.
Oh, I see. Well, this is the ABC network. So this is a network where people are pushing giant styrofoam blocks into a pool of water and calling it television.
Correct.
So we invite you to join us on our network for actual talking during a show. Fred Willard interviews a celebrity. This week it's Serena Williams, who you may recall just won Wimbledon for the 455th time.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then we get up and improvise scenes from her life. Yes, that's right. I'll be playing members of Serena Williams' family.
All right.
On
love
a show
to see that.
On TV tonight.
No kidding.
No guessing what I am. Is he a sassy black girl, or is he the overbearing father? That would be Greg a little bit later tonight.
So does the this is fascinating to me. So Serena Williams is standing there, and does she know what chapters from her life you guys are going to be acting out, or is it all a surprise
to her? I believe they may have discussed what chapters they were. And she's sitting, by the way, in giant Louboutins. But then we make her get up and dance and stuff like that. Yeah, so she tells Fred a story, and then Fred will go, all right, Greg, you're the dad. Colin, you're the sister. Get up and do that trip to Boston or whatever.
Do you have problems with celebrities wanting to trust you with their lives?
Evidently not. Evidently they are heedless of their own personal sense of embarrassment. So, I think they all seem pretty eager to do it. We have Ricky Gervais, and who else? I think Mark Cuban. As you know, he's very difficult to book on a TV show.
Cuban, he
stays away from the spotlight.
I don't think he's ever been on camera.
No, he's not an attention hog in any way.
Right.
And then who else do we have?
What about Gervais? Was he hard to get?
No, Ricky, he lives in England, so I don't think it was that hard. I think they sent a car
just
to his house.
Just because you're in the country,
he got in.
They dragged him right over. He's shorter than you think.
You can be in America. It doesn't mean you're going to get Seinfeld.
Exactly. That's true. Good call on that one.
But speaking of Gervais, though, I mean, he's a great improver as well. Does he get to play? Does he get to participate with you guys?
A little bit here and there. They don't get to do as many as I think they should, but you can't make everybody do it. You know what I mean? Like, Ricky obviously could do it. I mean, when we first started doing Who's Line, I used to sit in the green room and listen to the executives, which is, of course, as you know, nothing funnier than listening to TV executives
talk. They're the best, yeah.
Because evidently, they know what people like.
Right, yeah.
Even though they've never done their own laundry or gone to the grocery store or even picked up the phone and made a call. See? Because they have someone named Benjamin who does that for them.
And they're almost wrong every time they guess.
Oh, just about. Just about, right. I think. They didn't anticipate radio. They didn't anticipate the internet. So you can see they're right ahead of the game.
Sure.
These are the people who have to turn to their 12-year-old daughter and go, what should I do? In any case, during Who's Line, they go, we should have Tom Cruise on the show. We should have Dustin Hoffman on the show. And I'd be sitting in the back thinking, yeah, they'd love that. The first thing they'd love is to be handed a prop and then have to be funny for 5 minutes with it.
That's not for everyone.
No. So they do get up, but like I say, you don't want to browbeat them into submission and stuff.
Yeah. Craig, was there a moment when you were a little kid, and lots of people get bit by the showbiz bug, they see something on TV or at the movies that makes them want to go into that line of work, but was there a specific thing that made you realize that improv was what attracted you rather than just acting?
Well, improv I saw in college for the first time. I was at San Francisco State University majoring in dank. And chasing. And I went to a show where they had an improv group, and they had people get up out of the audience. And so I went and I sat in the front row the next week, and I jumped up because I figured I could do that. I watched them do it, and I was already kind of doing stand-up.
And they make it look easy, so I could do it.
Exactly. Right. So I jumped up then. On TV, I really loved laughing, but I think it was just as much for all the chicks in the bikinis as anything else.
Sure.
But mostly because it was really a fun show, and all they did was tell jokes. And it was the first show I remember where it was just funny. They didn't stop and sing a song. They didn't stop and were serious anywhere.
So you jumped up. What was that first time like?
You're going to love the premise. This will give you an idea of what year it was.
Okay.
It was right after VE Day. It was a Mooney in a bus station with a wino. A Mooney, if anybody remembers them.
I
think I was the Mooney, and my friend was the wino. And the next day, I was playing pinball. That'll give you even more of an idea of what we did in those days. And I was in the student union. I don't know if they have those anymore. I think kids just sit around with phones now in a group.
That's it. Yeah.
But in those days, we used to join each other for drink and pinball.
No, that doesn't happen anymore.
And he asked me to join the improv group, so I joined it. And that was 1947. And then... And then we started doing Who's Line, and what can
that
I tell you?
That is a talent. I got to tell you, I really, really admire people who are good at improv, because I have zero ability in that.
And you still have me here. I think that's beautiful, Kevin.
We have you there here, so we have some of that to go around.
But even the actors we have on, the Steve Carells and the Paul Rudds and guys like that, when they're talking about making a movie, they always say, we have a script and we shoot the script, but then it gets really fun because then we do 20 other takes of the same scene and you never know what's going to happen. And I just can't imagine having that kind of a mind to make that work.
Oh,
it's
awesome. I mean, if you have all that kind of framework, like you're making a movie, I don't want to say it's easier because it's not, but if you have all the framework of characters and you know where the scene's going and you have all the beats written and you know how the scene's supposed to end, there's a million ways to get there.
So
and
you're
that's
saying
where the
it's
fun
easier.
Is. Well, I'm just saying. I mean, if I give you 15 beats in a scene and where your character is going and how you're supposed to feel at the beginning and end of the scene, you've got somewhere to go as opposed to just, you're a cowboy. Come on, Kevin. How come you can't be funny being a cowboy?
Now, when you do this, you have to wait and see what the other people do before you know how to respond, right? I mean, that would be
the that's a good
part.
Idea. Listening is a very important part.
No, but I'm saying that's the most difficult part is you can't really plan stuff out in your mind, really.
Oh,
even...
no. And that's the thing is people think you plan it out or we write it out beforehand or there's a script or whatever. If you think of stuff you're going to say, it messes you up. Trying to remember things you're going to say was much harder than just diving in.
I can't do either. I can't think of things I'm going to say, and then I certainly can't ad-lib. So.
The show is called Trust Us With Your Life, which, by the way, that doesn't seem like an accurate title. It really does. I mean, really?
More like, let's make fun of every episode of your childhood, and then later some of your adult years.
Excellent.
But the ABC suits, they nixed that for this one, I guess. It's at 9 o'clock tonight, hosted by Fred Willard. What a great lineup. Now, which is the celebrity tonight? Serena Williams is the one we're going to see on the pilot, right?
Yeah, and then the second one is, I want to say it's Jack Osborne or somebody. Well, we did a bunch of them. Ricky comes up next, I think, and then...
I see Hasselhoff you did.
Hasselhoff and...
Jerry Springer.
Who's Dr. Quinn?
Jane Seymour.
Seymour. Yeah, By the way, still smoking hot. That's all I have to say. Oh, I don't know if any of the fellas out there are old enough to remember a little movie called... The James Bond one. I just played on it.
She was a Bond girl. That's
the Roger
right.
Roger Moore one. She plays Solitaire in the first Roger Moore one where they go.
Ralph would know.
It's going to drive you crazy, isn't it?
Yes, it is because I had it in the tip of my tongue and now I can't.
That's what happens when you try to remember things that you're going to say. You should just be improv-ing, Greg.
I should have improv-ed. It's a Roger Moore one called He Was Slightly Older, but She Was Really Hot, and Yaphet Kotto was in it.
Trust us with your life.
When you were young and your heart was...
Live and Let Die?
Live and Let Die.
There you go.
Thank God.
See, I had to sing the whole song to get there. It's like the alphabet. That's how stupid I am.
ABC tonight at 9. Greg Proops is our guest. We'll return right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:38.
That's the Greg Proops singing along with the Red Hot Chili Peppers mix is what that is here on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Take you to the kitten I love.
Hey, you could write the lyrics as well as Anthony can. Come on. That's not a slam. I mean, he does a great job with them. It's just they seem rather interchangeable.
Yeah.
Hey, the director of a little movie called The Amazing Spider-Man, Mark Webb, joins us next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. And then John Bones Jones from UFC 151 is going to be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour. So a lot of good stuff coming up. Plus, we'll play that new Killers song for you again in just a few minutes. Greg Proops is here. He is the smartest man in the world. Although he has used the word golly since he's been in here with us today, he's made a reference to Barbara Cartland, and he has called someone a love bug. So I don't know. You're losing me here,
Greg.
I'm
also the campest man in the world. I'm also trying not to curse madly because I realize we're on regular radio with regular people who have jobs and fear the Lord. This isn't my podcast where I can say any old vile concoction I come up with and use epithets of a horrible nature that are derogatory. I'm trying to be peppy and positive. We're on the world famous K-Rock.
You do have...
You have
a certain amount of freedom on your Smartest Man podcast. Hey, I see in the synopsis of your July 6th show that you taped in Minneapolis that you talk about Bob Dylan on the show. Is that just because you were doing a Minneapolis show? You want to give a shout out to the hometown guy, or did you have a thought on him?
Well, it was because I did a radio show once in London with Mavis Staples from the Staples Singers, and the Scottish host of the show jumped right in, and he goes, "So, you had an affair with Bob Dylan?" And she turned bright red, and her sister, who was sitting next to my wife in the room, just turns to my wife and goes, like that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Mavis is a year older than Bob, and when they were like teens, they had an affair in the 60s. Because remember, Mavis Staples' dad was great friends with Dr. King and all that and blah, blah, blah.
I don't know any of that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Dr. King was a very eminent leader of civil rights in this country.
Dr. King.
Well, I think he used to fight Dr. Strange in one of the episodes. I was listening before, and I think your guy missed that one. It was actually Dr. King was the superhero.
You have so many crazy stories, and you talk about all of them. I mean...
I do. I try to be entertaining occasionally. What I get tired of when you go over to people's houses is they'll tell a story, and it has no beginning and end, and nothing happens in the middle of it.
Right.
I think, we're here. I mean, however unofficial an audience I am, shouldn't you at some point try to captivate me by using the word cocaine or flashing or purplish end or something that's going to keep my interest till the end of the story?
Right.
You know what I mean? Don't just start in and go, well, we went on a picnic, but there was nowhere to park. Let me stop this right now. We took a fistful of E and we went on a picnic.
Now you got a story.
After the highway patrol tried to pull us over, see, then there's a story.
Greg, right? We have done so many topics where we have people call in and tell stories, and they start with the most insignificant details that have nothing to do with the story, and it drives us out of our minds.
It's amazing how people start stories.
So we were at Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know what? It wasn't Kentucky Fried Chicken. It was McDonald's.
Yeah, that's my favorite part. When they change
it. Stop it! That doesn't matter.
Well, it might have been Del Taco. Listen, unless it starts with, we were all wearing ski masks, and I had an AK, but my AK jammed, so I turned to my dude Bruno, but Bruno wasn't there anymore. Because, you see, the cops had come. That's how the story starts,
correct.
All right?
Yes.
Yeah, let's jump right to the middle of the story. I don't tell a Bob Dylan story like, gee, I really like him. I went and saw him in a show once. It was good. I'm like, no, he nailed Mavis Staples in 1961. How's that grab you? Now let's move on to the next story.
You should be teaching a community college course on how to tell stories. Oh, and I also see, again, on the Smartest Man in the World podcast, available through iTunes and poopcast.com, that you were in England ripping on the royal family. Now, how did that go over?
Makes me so happy.
Well, you know, they had that big jubilee, and really,
60 years on the throne.
Exactly.
Before you move on, let me just tell you, I despise the whole thing. I think it's the dumbest thing that exists in history. Bean loves the queen.
Oh, you're a bit of a royalist, are you?
Well, it's just that I think England has made the choice that they want it, and it's their country, and they have the right to do that if they want. If they want to make those people celebrities like we make the Kardashian celebrities for doing nothing, let them.
Of course, I'm not going to rule against them. I'm just saying I hate it. It's stupid.
Well, of course, we don't give the Kardashians hundreds of billions of dollars in our tax money so that they can keep their lifestyle going. My understanding is it's a free market system with the Kardashians.
So what happened? What happened in London when you went on your tirade against the queen?
Oh, now, you know, people just get a little chuffy. Sometimes they
get upset, do they?
Occasionally they understand what I'm talking about. So there's no greater thrill for the working class than to watch those who are amazingly privileged go down the river in a boat and wave at you while wearing 19th century costumes. The thing about England is they do the pass so well because they kept the clothes. I mean, who else wears swords in the middle of ceremonies and stuff? If you wore a sword to an American thing, people would be like, dude, check your sword at the door. In England, they've got plumes in their hats. Yeah. I don't know if you saw what the Princess Anne was wearing. She was wearing like a Royal Navy man's outfit. Like, so she was in some sort of weird, HMS Pinafore farce play that was going on. Just to see wealthy people have a good time really lifts our hearts when we're trying to decide whether to buy smokes or food that day.
that was my point. That are living on your money that you should be spending.
And, you know, many castles. They go up to Scotland to stay in their castle there. They have a castle outside of London. They have a castle inside of London.
Yeah.
It's never like they're going to be poor and like, you know, will rain for food. You never see that sign in front of Buckingham Palace.
Right.
We'll be imperatrix of the Commonwealth for food. That never really happens. I'm sure they're nice people. I met Prince Charles once and he was dead nice and shorter than you thought. I always thought he was 5'10", 5'11".
Yeah.
About 5'8".
Really?
Yeah. But he took my hand and he's so great at meeting people. He grabs my hand and he pulled me into him and he looked me right in the eye and he went, how long are you here for? And I was like, Wednesday? I felt like I was staying at his house and that I had to be out by the next morning. And he was like, did you come over just for this? And I went, I did, your highness. And he's like, well, thank you. And I was like, my goodness, your people skills are awesome. All of a sudden, I want to get with you. And you're not even wearing a sash.
What are the circumstances where you're in a room with Prince Charles?
How did that happen? Years ago, he had a comedy show. He loves comedy, right? Like, his favorite group was the Goons, you know, with Peter Sellers and all that.
Prince Charles loves comedy.
Yeah, isn't that odd?
Princess Margaret, his aunt, the Queen's sister, the one who passed away, used to famously slept with loads of comedians. She had an affair with Peter Sellers and everything.
Really?
I'll get to the good stuff right away. So I'm at a store in London. No, wait a minute. I can't remember which store it was. So I'm on stage, and there's Prince Charles, and the show was Ginger Spice, Robbie Williams, Peter Ustinov. It was like a typical show. Elle McPherson. We're all there together, as you do.
That's normal. Sure.
I walk up to Elle McPherson, and I go, hi, Elle McPherson. I'm Greg Proops. And she goes, how strange that we should meet here. And then whisked away from me as quickly as humanly possible. And I was like, slut, as she walked away. She, on the other hand, enormously tall. But a head like a cat. Kind of a meerkat. Really? You know what I mean? Like 6.5 feet tall, but with a tiny, tiny head at the very top that you can barely see. Yeah, so we did his birthday party, and he had a bunch of comedians playing everything. I also walked up to Roger Moore and introduced myself, and Roger Moore looked at me like I was a salad that something alive had just crawled out of. Like, he was, oh, is that a centipede? Oh, what is that? He was really weird. But then George Martin, who produced the Beatles, came up and went, hi, I'm George Martin. And I was like, dig.
That's cool. Greg's life is an acid trip.
Well, that part
here's
wild.
What I like about Greg, though. His stories are great, and they're 6 seconds
they're
long.
So brief, yes.
As David Niven once said, if you're eating dinner with Chairman Mao, don't talk about the waiter.
And on that note,
I'm going to have to download the podcast so I can go back and understand all of this.
Yes, I think so. Again, the Proopcast with Greg Proops is available. You can get that on iTunes, and you have your own app as well. The new show is called Trust Us With Your Life. It's you and your very funny friends and funny comedians and funny actors and funny celebrities tonight at 9 on ABC. It sounds awesome. Greg, have fun in Philadelphia, man. Try not to die. I know you're playing out there all weekend long.
Dude,
it's
I'll
a
lose
million
a few
degrees.
For you. Oh, my
a
God.
A million.
I'm
going
to have to live
right
on
now.
A steady diet of cheesesteaks and Rolling Rock beer. That's my only situation.
Well, good luck with that.
Always fun to see you, man. Thanks for coming
fellas.
In. Runaways, brand new music from The Killers. We world premiered last about 55 minutes ago right here on The Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to play it for you again coming up next. First, Ralph's here. He's got the showbiz beat on a Tuesday. What's going on?
This is like the greatest year of my life. This is just...
It is, isn't it?
It's like Christmas all year long with the Avengers and... Then the Amazing Spider-Man and Comic-Con's coming up this weekend, and The Dark Knight Rises is coming out later this month, and there's a documentary on the Batmobile on Monday, and
the new Madea movie is out.
I think you might be missing the point.
I think
sorry, I didn't.
It is like
the
they
thread.
Said.
Well, you're a bonus interruptus right there.
Let's make a year for Ralph.
It's just a geek fest. It just doesn't stop. It's awesome. Speaking of The Dark Knight Rises, we do have tickets for a very special K-Rock advanced screening of the movie, which is, of course, the third and last in the trilogy of Christopher Nolan's Batman movies. The last one he's going to do with Christian Bale. After this, they're going to have to reinvent the franchise all over again, which is going to be a tall order.
Yeah,
well, we got a guy in the next room who can do it, probably.
Hey, maybe Webb will take on Batman. He took on Spider-Man, yeah.
Why not?
The Dark Knight Rises in theaters everywhere, July the 20th. Our screening is Wednesday, July the 18th. Great cast. Of course, Christian Bale returns. Tom Hardy is Bane. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who's good friends with Mark Webb. Of course, they did 500 Days of Summer together.
Oh, right.
So I was trying to pump Mark for details about Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character in Batman. In Dark Knight Rises, because no one's to say anything about it. We don't know who he's playing or what's going on with that character. Morgan Freeman returns. Great cast. If you'd like to go, here's a little trivia question for you. You got to know Batman, though. I'm not going to just hand these out. Here's your trivia question. Just give me the names of Bruce Wayne's parents. His parents, who, of course, he saw slain in front of him when he was a young boy, that put him on the path of vengeance against all criminals, and he became Batman because he saw them murdered right in front of his eyes.
Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling. It was not Bruce Wayne's parents.
All right.
That's just dumb.
That's my guess. That's all I
it's
had.
It's a dumb guess. Remember, Bruce Wayne and his parents were leaving the drink store late one night. That's when they were mugged. And that's...
Oh, yeah.
That's how he became Batman, because they were mugged coming out of the drink store.
The place that Kevin tipped us off to today that we didn't know about. Yeah. Hot days.
I didn't know there was such a place. That may be my new favorite moment with. Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise, they have already worked out their divorce arrangements. That's got to be a record. They have figured out their divorce settlement. They know how much time Suri will be spending, their daughter will be spending with Katie, who apparently will have primary custody. Tom Cruise will get an enormous amount of custodial time with her as well. They've worked out the religious conflicts they were having between Scientology and Catholicism and how they're going to raise Suri. Apparently she will be raised in a neutral home when it comes to religion, at least for now. And as she gets older, I guess they'll address it later on. But by all accounts, they seem to have worked things out very amicably and without much fuss. So, congratulations. Not coincidentally, I guess, according to... sources close to Katie Holmes. She just announced her next movie role today.
Ah.
Single mom. She's got to get out there and work for a living.
That was also part of her complaint, is that her movie career had just...
Well, he apparently was very tanked. Controlling, yeah. According to sources again, and would... He had to have approval over what she said yes to, what she worked on, how she worked, what kind of publicity she did for the project
really?
She worked on. Yeah,
you can imagine.
So her next film...
is going to be a project called Molly, which she co-wrote and is co-producing. That's going to begin shooting in New York very soon. It's the story of a single mom.
How about that?
Yeah. So I guess maybe she's doing some research by divorcing Tom. Maybe that's all it's
about. She co-wrote it, meaning she's been writing it probably for the last year.
I have fantasies about being a single mom. I better write them down. So it looks like it's all going to work out.
How's this new Tom Cruise movie look to you guys?
Which one?
I can't remember the name of it, but I know what Bean's talking about.
It's the one, name of it is a guy's name.
Yeah.
He played August Reach or something Reach. Damn Jack it. Reach, something like
Jack
that.
Jack Reacher?
Maybe that's what it
Reach
is.
Reach around?
It looks pretty intense, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
I mean, look, he's a weirdo, but I still think he's a great actor.
I do too.
He is still
I don't
a
think
movie
he's a
star.
Great actor, but I think really? He is a compelling movie star.
I think he's a great actor.
No, I've never seen him be a great actor.
Every time he tries Mission Impossible to act, and stuff like that.
Well, he's not acting. He's jumping and humping and shooting and swinging.
He's
I mean,
really being anyone.
That
else.
Is a great movie best. Star.
Yeah.
Every time he tries to act.
Yeah.
Whether it's Rock of Ages or Magnolia or whatever, I just see him working so hard to act. He's just desperately trying to act. It's just he's not he's not a natural, but he's a great movie star. He does these action adventure films, and it's all very compelling. But I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Scarlett Johansson.
Yes.
She again talking about the summer of geekdom. She has apparently sewn up her deal for the second Avengers film. Producers have come back to woo her with a paycheck. Equal to, if not greater than, some of her male co-stars. Apparently, they think she's so key to the second film, largely because male film fans are desperate for a woman action star. Well, not only they can look at, but also can believably kick ass. And Scarlett does that. She looks like she will be getting $20 million for the next Avengers film. Yeah. Hope they can afford it. I don't think Avengers made any money. Yeah. I don't know if the producers have any cash. I'll have to wait and see.
It's going
to
be tough.
You going to answer my trivia question? Oh, look, a girl answered! A girl answer. Let's go to Jillian. Let's go to line three. Because you guys don't believe there are any girls out there who love comics.
Well,
and it's been, and today we've had a bunch of them.
We're basing that on the 100% male calls that we get for these
Well, there's
tickets.
50-50 right here today. Jillian?
Yes?
I need the name of Bruce Wayne's parents, please.
Martha and Thomas Wayne.
Thomas and Martha Wayne, absolutely.
Nice. Now, was it your boyfriend or your brother who told you the answer and told you to call for him?
No, I really want to go really bad.
Well, you get to.
And you knew this yourself, didn't you?
Absolutely.
God bless you, Jillian. You are going to the advanced screening of The Dark Knight Rises on the 18th. Hold on, we're going to give you all the details, okay?
Okay, thanks, Ralph.
And we're going to give tickets to Gabriel as well. He was also winning. I'll have more tickets next hour for Dark Knight Rises. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Peter DiStefano from Porno for Pyros is 47 years old today. Sofia Vergara, star of Modern Family, turns 40. Adrian Grenier of Entourage is 36. Thomas Ian Nicholas, who was in all the American Pie films, 32 years old. And singer Jessica Simpson also turns 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Ralph, it seems like there have been several times the past few weeks where we haven't been able to stop you from singing the Spider-Man theme. Is this going to be one of them, or are you too embarrassed in front of Mark Webb?
Well, I think, you know, now Amazing Spider-Man has sort of put its own imprint on the legend.
True.
It's not about the cartoon anymore. It's not about Tobey Maguire anymore. This is Spider-Man now. This is the new Spider-Man.
Mark Webb is the man who made the Amazing Spider-Man, the number one film in the world, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
He joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Mark, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you doing? Thank you for that introduction. It's totally absurd to hear that, but it's... really flattering.
But it's
amazing.
True.
I guess so. That's what they tell me. It's so abstract. I don't know what that means. But
it means somebody else is making a lot of money.
Exactly. Sony, which is down the street, you can hear them like the trucks pulling up and like dumping massive quantities of cash.
You were saying in the other room we were talking, Mark, that you just finished the film really just before it was released, right?
Yeah.
That's you just put the final
really?
Touches on
How
it.
How close do you get to the
probably
release date?
Well, we had about, I don't know, maybe 6 weeks before the movie came out, because you're always tweaking the sound and the last piece of visual effects, and you know it, and so it's always up to the you want to exploit every last moment, because there's so many elements in a movie of that size.
If,
you want to perfect everything.
If that release date wasn't set, could you have tinkered for another 6 months?
6 months,
six
years. There's always stuff you can improve on,
but
you know, fortunately we had enough time at the beginning and enough. We had about a year of post. To work through it, so we had enough time, I think, to do.
But this is really the first time your head's been out of the film. Now that it's out of your control, you're no longer messing around with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now you get a chance to sort of
look at the landscape and sort of appreciate the whole overall experience is what I'm thinking, right?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I mean, you promote the movie for – we did like a world tour for 3 weeks, which is amazing. We went to all around the world, and you're in it, and you come up with your sound bites, and you talk about that. And then there's about a two-day period after you've done all your interviews and before the movie comes out where you have no control over anything. And for – you know, I think for directors where you live on – you suckle at the teat of control.
Sure.
It's a terrifying moment where you're sort of vibrating. It was terrifying. And now then the weekend turned out, you know, really well. I was very happy with it. But it's super abstract. Like I wasn't in the theaters with the people. But then I get a lot of
elitist
emails and yeah.
You don't go, and I don't imagine I would either. But you don't go once to see.
I went to the midnight screening at the ArcLight.
You did, okay?
Yes, I did.
Because those are the really hardcore fans.
And I introduced it, and that was really amazing to like see the people. But then I cleared out. You know, Andrew and Emma, I know, like left 2 days before. They couldn't take it anymore.
Really?
Everybody was, and the producers have all sort of gone to
There's
the different corners of the earth.
There's not something in your mind that goes, I want to make sure that the laughs or when
the moments play
the right way.
Well, you go through that period, but when you can't control, when you can't change it anymore, it's terrifying.
They miss something, you'd stand up in the theater.
Wait, stop. Okay, let me explain to you.
You missed that moment.
There was a joke here. Rewind. Take it back.
Mark, take us back a couple of years when the announcement was made that you were going to be the director, and there were a lot of people who said, what's in this guy's background with his music videos and smaller films? What's to suggest that he can make a movie at a scope like this? What were you thinking? Were you just scared S-less when they gave you the job? Oh, my God, what have I gotten myself into? Or did you always have the confidence that you could do a movie this big?
Yeah, it was terrifying. I was terrified. But it's one of those but it was exciting. The 17-year-old in you is just so enthused and curious about the experience that it was really – and I had a great team and a lot of really wonderful people to work with. So it was exciting. And then, I try not to think about those massive big picture things.
Right.
You just break it down into like, okay, well, we got to get the script right, and then we have to find a location to do this, and you have to you break it down into little pieces.
Was it daunting that you were relaunching something that was so recent?
Sure, yeah. I mean, that was intimidating. But if you look at the comics, there's 50 years of Spider-Man comics, and there's so much material to choose from. It's different than like, you know, Harry Potter has 7 books, and it's a closed canon, right? And Spider-Man is an ongoing series, and there's the Spectacular Spider-Man. There's Ultimate Spider-Man's, of course, there's the Amazing Spider-Man. There's, you know, Spider-Man Noir. There's all these different elements. I mean, in terms of creating something new, I think I was a little skeptical at first, but then I think I asked myself, would I want to see this movie? Would I be curious about it? And you know, Spider-Man is an inherently cinematic character, and he really belongs on screen. And it was that simple.
You don't think Tobey Maguire ruined it?
Tobey Maguire is fantastic. I met him. I met him before the announcement. It's true, and I admire what he and Sam did in a very deep and significant way.
Except for 3, but go ahead.
It's just not his fault.
The emo Spider-Man didn't do it for me.
But first two Spider-Man movies with Tobey Maguire were great movies.
They were.
The third Spider-Man, when Sandman came alive, I still like that. That is one of the coolest CG sequences I've ever seen.
It's a great comic book moment if you've read the book. You know, that has so much power to it because that image is in your head from reading all those books.
Yeah, and the way he grabbed the locket. People rag on it, but I got to watch out for my peeps.
We always hear from directors, and we've had a lot of them on this show, that we can't conceive as civilians how many thousands of decisions have to be made. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't even imagine how you keep everything straight in your mind, but I mean, you have to do things like sign off on what the Spider-Man suit looks like. I mean, in your hands to decide what look it is, right? Uh-huh. I mean, that's pretty heavy duty.
Yeah, you have advice. But there's also, again, there's these comics to choose from. And I think in terms of the suit, I wanted to create something. I kept on thinking about how would a kid actually make this suit? You know, and that was a sort of an indicator. We wanted, you know, I was like, well, you would have tennis shoes and you would put the tennis shoes on a suit. And we use sunglasses for the lenses. Those became sort of elements of the suit. And then, you know, I wanted a more – like something I liked from the comics was the more lithe, adolescent sort of skinny body. And so we used the design to sort of elongate his shape and those things kind of they images present themselves, and we had Kim Barrett who did the Matrix and these wonderful costumes to help design that, and it was a blast. There's so many moments where you're like, you know, pinch myself.
Is it unlimited amount of web slinging that is possible? Because it seemed like, just like we used to make fun of the old cop shows where they shoot like 30 bullets out of a gun, it seems like he has miles of web. He never runs out. How is that possible?
You have a problem with that?
I'm wondering what the science is.
He's a little jealous.
And now you're like, why do you got to bring
that
up?
Even I run out after an hour.
Stop it. No one wants to think about that.
No, but what's the science of having miles of web?
Reloaded without us seeing.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, he has, as you can see, he got tons of web pellets from Oscorp. I mean, we don't really want to see him reloading.
I know.
Come on.
Yeah. It's funny because Bean also has a mechanical web shooter.
He does.
I'll scare you in real life.
Before we go to break, Mark Webb is here. He is the director of The Amazing Spider-Man, a small indie movie you can find in select area theaters if you look for
it. Came out at Sundance.
Is there any kind of jealousy before we go to break here that your movie would be number one this week if it weren't for Mark's movie? What about that, Rob?
How can I be jealous? As a geek, you want the comic book movies to do well. So, I'm only in 4 minutes of Ted, really. So, I got my week's worth of good gloating out of it. And now moving on to Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, imagine how big Spider-Man would be if they'd put you in it for 4 minutes too, Ralph.
That would have been a hit. You had your chance, Mark. You put me in it, you would have had a hit on your hands.
I'm sorry. It would have made money then.
Yeah. More with our guest, Mark Webb, right after this on the Kevin DeBee. John Bones Jones is going to be joining us. Beer Mug, you're going to be fighting him in the 9 o'clock hour here in the studio at K-Rock, right?
I'm going to kick his ass, too.
A little bit tune-up for UFC 151 coming up in September. Tickets are going on sale. Right now, Mark Webb in studio. He is the director of The Amazing Spider-Man. I just saw him wiping up a coffee spill there with a $100 bill. Did you see that, Ralph? Just rubbing it in our faces right there.
And then he ate it. Then he ate the $100 bill. Strange.
Mm-hmm. Mark, I've got a question for you. Maybe there's no good answer to this, but why can't Americans ever play superheroes anymore? Why does Batman have to be British, and why does Superman have to be British, or whatever Henry Cavill is? Why did you hire Andrew Garfield? What's the deal? What happened to USA, USA?
I wish I had the answer to that. I just don't know. I mean, listen, and there was no conscious effort to cast a...
you hate America.
I do hate America.
You're Al Qaeda.
That's part of the
Garfield, to be fair, was born in America.
California.
Yeah, born here.
California.
Yeah,
he was
so great. He's a perfect choice.
Dad's from California. Yeah.
Did you see like 1,000 dudes looking for a Spider-Man, or did you narrow in on him pretty early?
No. We saw literally, I think, over 1,000 people, and it was very... That was the hardest part of the process, to find a Peter Parker. It was terrifying, because there are moments mornings when I woke up where I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do, because Toby had defined him in such a specific way, and I was after something different. And
did you know what you wanted?
I wanted somebody that was I wanted to do that humor thing. I wanted to have a little more of a... I mean, when I think about Peter Parker, I think about this kid who got left behind by his parents when he's like 6-7 years old, and that's going to have a huge emotional consequence. And like, something I love from the comics was that wit and that humor, and I wanted to push that. And
he was a wise ass for a lot of his career.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you saw Andrew Garfield, what was it that clicked?
He came in the first audition he did was really interesting, because it was a scene that's not in the movie. It was a scene that was written sort of for the rehearsal or for the auditions, and he was calling Oscorp about something, and like, most actors, they sort of look at the camera and they're mugging a little bit and they take pauses at the right places. Andrew like picked up the phone and then he sort of walked to the wall, and the camera person like had to follow him to the wall, and then he did half the audition like sort of leaning up against the wall and then turning around, and he moved in a way that I just hadn't seen anybody move before, and it was fascinating to watch. It was fascinating. It was different than any other audition. It's super weird, but it was awesome. And then we did a screen test with him, and he just – there was something it wasn't about the lines for him. It was just he was acting on some much deeper level, where the acting ceased to become acting, and it was behavior.
All right, let's forget about him and talk about Emma Stone.
Awesome.
Man, I've been in love with her for a long time. And
she's
just
the best.
Talk about casting. Inspired casting as Gwen Stacy, the guy that every girl loved in the comic books, who just wanted – you wanted her to be your girlfriend, you know.
Yeah,
and you want Emma Stone to be your girlfriend.
Yeah, this whole thing was I orchestrated so I could meet Emma Stone. That's really the truth.
I would absolutely understand and believe that if that was the case.
I totally won. No, she's fantastic, and she's not only super funny, but she's a really good actress. I was very impressed with the work that she did in the movie, and she's whenever they talk about her, like on that MTV thing, there's all these people making up really bad things about her as a joke,
right?
Because there is nothing bad about her. we were just talking about this off air. There's like she's one of those people that's just kind of superhuman and awesome and bakes cookies. And
all like, right, there's something we just don't know what it is.
She does beat kittens between takes, sure. Which is but I forgive that.
Was it the same?
It's hot enough. She's funny.
Was it the same process to find her as it was?
That
to
was
find
a little bit easier because well, Emma was more of a known quantity, you know, and I'd seen her, you know, obviously in Easy A and Zombieland and. And she came in and she brought the funny and but she was also she could do the emotional stuff as well and you can't go wrong with
that. Is that the toughest line to walk as a director is the funny with the real?
Yeah,
because a lot of films fail miserably on that line.
Yeah, I think that you know a joke can cost you a lot. It can cost.
Yes.
It can expose. If it's too ironic or too self-referential, then it takes you out of the movie. And I think I err on the side of trying to find some emotional honesty, and it really pays dividends. It's tricky because laughs in a situation like that they're vocal. You can hear them. You feel validated by that. Mm. But it can take out. It can take out some of the emotional resonance of the film, particularly in the last parts of it. So,
and in an action film, especially, you know, laughter diffuses that energy. It's sort of a release valve, and it can break the tension, but it can also remove the intensity and the tension you're trying to build.
Absolutely, and it's a line you got to walk, and it's intuitive. And I'd watched the movie several times and make sure we didn't push it too far. And we took out some jokes and put some jokes back in. It's
just to
places.
Be careful of walking that line.
Sure, exactly.
But I know many fans, myself included, we were. Glad that you brought back that aspect we talked about earlier of Spider-Man, which was he would mock the criminals as he was fighting them. That was part of his shtick, was that he would make fun of you while he was kicking the crap out of you or spitting webs at you or whatever.
Oh,
he was
you
doing.
Brought a little knife. What am I going to do?
No, it's my weakness.
Yeah, that was fun. But that was like that also, it's also very character based. Like, and I think it's again like we all know comedians and comedians have a. It's a sort of defense mechanism.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's a way to integrate into the world. And you think about this kid who's an orphan. He's been on the outside. He's an outsider. And that he's probably developed that skill. And he feels, you know, when he puts on that mask, he feels this kind of courage to do that he hadn't before. And I think that car thief scene is it's sort of at the pinnacle of his more irresponsible behavior. And it's used to dramatize that part of the character.
Mark Webb is here. We're almost out of time. He's the director of The Amazing Spider-Man. So obviously there's going to have to be a second one. You're going to all have to be back for another movie. But what happens if somebody comes in and reboots your reboot before you're able to make that movie? Then what do you do?
I'm rebooting my reboot. That's going to be a super meta reboot.
It's like looking into a mirror with a mirror behind you. And suddenly there are all these Spider-Men everywhere.
Hey, I had one final question for you. And that is, how does it work with the hilarious Stan Lee cameos in all the Marvel movies? Is that something that's already in the contract, or is that something that every director gets to make the choice of whether to do it or not?
The first thing I did when I got hired was call Stan Lee to have lunch with him. I was like, this is one of those another amazing experiences. And when he sat down, I was expecting him to talk about, you know, the outsider and what it's like to be Peter. He's like, first thing was like, what about my cameo? Let's talk about my cameo.
It's a great tradition for all of these Marvel movies. Yeah. It's hilarious that they do it.
He does. He wants an Academy Award category for his cameos. I didn't know what it was going to be until about 3 weeks before shooting. I was going through the script and sort of looking for places for humor and jokes and the Stan Lee cameo.
You're kind of sweating it a little.
I didn't know. I mean, you kind of think about it. Yeah. And I didn't want to throw it away. That just sort of presented itself, and it seemed like a good thing. I am really proud of that cameo. Thank you.
Well, no, it's hilarious.
I'm surprised
it's really
Stan
funny.
Stan didn't suggest himself for Uncle Ben. I think he's done with the cameos. I think he wants to move
he
on
kept
to larger
on trying
roles
to,
now.
He kept on trying to put a line into that part because I think he gets more residuals that way. I don't know. But
that's funny.
But yeah, he was fantastic.
I ran into him at the Thor premiere, and he said, I could have played Thor's dad. I could have been Odin. I was like, Anthony Hopkins plays that role, Stan. I don't really think you had the chops, sir.
He also invented Anthony Hopkins, so I don't know if you knew that.
That's true, yes.
He wrote him.
One of his characters?
Yeah.
Well, The Amazing Spider-Man is available wherever fine movies are shown, and you should definitely go see it. Mark Webb, what a thrill to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank
I hope
you guys
come back and see us again. All this week on K-Rock, we're giving away tickets for you to go to Epicenter September 22nd, Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, including STP, also Bush, Deftones, and more. Congratulations to our latest winner, Jacqueline Valenzuela, who just won those tickets from Los Angeles and is now qualified for the grand prize drawing we do on Friday to see any of those bands anywhere in the USA. Details at KRock.com.
Let's talk to LaQuisha.
Okay.
It's been, seems like a day.
2 days in a row, LaQuisha talking Kardashians. How are you, girlfriend?
Not good. That's how I am.
Well,
you were
know,
mad yesterday.
Well, because that back-to-back episode, a very special two-parter of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, that means 2 hours of nothing happening.
Oh, I thought right. they were just a half hour.
No, that's an hour long.
An hour long.
Each episode is 1 hour.
Well, but in the show's defense, wasn't at least 30 minutes of the Sunday night episode just Bruce Jenner filling up a tire with
he
air?
Yeah, he did fill a tire with air. There was that.
Now, they you teased us yesterday by saying that they were going to bring in the Kanye West storyline.
Well, the premise was, you may remember, that Scott Disick, the baby daddy of Courtney, is opening a restaurant in New York, and the whole family was going to go to New York to support him on his opening.
Right.
So they all go to New York, and Kim is seeing this mystery fella. They can't quite figure out who she's dating these days. Turns out to be Kanye West. And she has invited him to be at the opening of this restaurant with her. And her friends, her family, keep trying to ask her about the relationship and stuff. And Kim doesn't want to talk about it because you know what a private person Kim Kardashian is.
That's true.
I'm just trying to be a little bit more private with my relationship and keep that to myself and not involve them in every last drama that goes on. I think they should be happy with that because they have so much going on in their lives.
That's right. And the whole of Kardashians, their motto is keep our lives private.
That is true. That's
Let's
what they've strived
not
for.
Share too much with everyone. Let's just be known for our work. Let our work speak for itself. Oh, wait a minute. Your work is whoring yourself out because you got no talent. Well, Scott Disick's in New York to work on his restaurant. And by work, I mean, I think he wrote a check for somebody to make a restaurant.
Right.
But he shows up with Rob Kardashian. They're in New York together. Rob wants to go out drinking. So, what can Scott do? He's got to.
I'm in New York to work at my restaurant. Doesn't mean I can't have a little fun while I'm at it. I mean, if Rob wants to, why not? It would be fun to kind of show Rob a little bit of New York because we've never been in the city together.
I guarantee if me and you walked into a spring break nightclub, they'd be probably throwing their panties at us.
Yeah, they'll be throwing their panties at those guys.
I'm sorry, Scott Disick said they're going to be...
That's right. Scott Disick walk in the room, ladies be throwing their panties. Or throwing up. One of them be throwing. I know they'll be throwing.
That's awesome.
Now, Scott doesn't get back home until around 6 o'clock in the morning. And at this point, he has not even said hello to his girlfriend, mother of two, since she's been in the city. He's been pretty much out drinking with Rob Kardashian every night.
Right.
And now Courtney, she's really had it because this is only about the 900th time he has treated her like this, where he's had a drinking problem and then ignored her. So now she is fed up, and Chloe has to call her on the carpet.
So you're just over Scott.
I'm going to have two kids. I can't have three.
So do you want to break up with Scott?
I always do.
You shouldn't even talk about it.
She said, I always do.
I love that music.
I'll tell you something. The quickest way to break up with a fella is to keep having his baby.
Yeah. Sure.
That
sure.
will end the relationship quickly. Oh, no, wait a minute. Well, everyone notices that Kim, while in New York, is sporting these earrings that spell KW in her ear.
KW?
And it's not for Kim Kardashian.
KW. What could that stand
Kanye
for?
Kanye West.
Oh!
And Mama starts asking Kim, well, what, are you too serious? Is this going someplace? And she's like, no, we're taking it slow, but Kris Jenner doesn't believe that.
I think that Kim is trying to take things slow, but the heart wants what the heart wants, and Kim knows what she wants.
Black penis.
We've learned that over the years.
That's what we know Kim wants.
But don't you think that Chris, Kim's mom, is most happy about the fact that he's got a lot of dough?
No, that he's a publicity
famous.
Magnet.
He's
That's
famous.
What she wants.
Okay,
yeah,
yeah,
the paparazzi going to be going crazy now. Now, Kim also has to make... pretend to be the peacekeeper in the family because now Rob Kardashian and Scott Disick are having a disagreement because Rob's a little jealous of Scott's success with his restaurant.
I know you're probably frustrated that his restaurant is, like, coming out before your, you know, sock line. You can't, like, you know, not be happy for him.
Yeah, I know.
That's right. You can't take the failure of your sock line
oh my God.
A personal attack just because he has a restaurant.
I forgot.
And you're trying to start a sock line.
I forgot all about the sock line.
A sock line really sounds like something that they would make up in a TV show.
Yeah.
For someone's trying to start a business. Like, oh, yes, I've got to design a sock line that I'm starting now. Everyone will be wearing my socks one day.
He should be embarrassed, and he should take it as an insult.
And there's no reason that business should succeed to have a sock line. Well, the moment we've all been waiting for, last night's episode shows up where Kanye walks through the door.
Sure.
And he's going to be at this restaurant opening, and Kim is so excited.
I am so happy. Kanye is coming with me to Scott's restaurant opening, and I don't want to make a big fuss about it. We're just hanging out, and that's it.
That's right. I don't want to make a big fuss about our relationship, so I'm going to the opening of a restaurant in New York City with 500 paparazzi on the red carpet.
And putting it on television.
And on television, just to keep it low-key.
She's the best at that.
The good news is, at the opening of the restaurant, Scott and Rob are able to put their differences aside, and Scott gives Rob his full support for his sock line.
And when your sock comes, not only am I going to put them on my feet, I'm going to wrap around my and walk down Fifth Avenue. You feel me? Now give me some love.
Yeah, you feel me?
Oh, dear
I'm going to wrap my penis in your socks. That's how much I love you.
Now give me some love.
Give me some love. So now everybody's happy, of course, except for Courtney, who's still married to Scott Disick. And what's the family going to do? Well, Kim and her mom sit down to try to talk about how to get their sister out of this relationship, because it's very toxic, but they have been together for a few years.
They've only been together, what, 6 or 7 years?
That's a long time. That's an eternity in my book.
Well, yeah, it's more than 72 days, for sure.
Oh, no, you did!
Oh, snap.
Mama's slapping Kim down with the 72 days! That's harsh when even your mom making fun of your failed marriage.
Yeah.
That's okay. You're getting rich, famous, black penis now, Kim. I'm very proud of you. Don't make me watch this show no more.
Oh, but seriously, you had a good time.
No, I'm serious.
But you had a good time.
Seriously, don't make me watch
it. But you enjoyed it.
No, I'm serious. Don't make me
watch
it.
We'll talk to you Monday.
I don't want to watch.
Only the UFC light heavyweight champion of the world joins us next in studio here on the Kevin Bean Show. John Bones Jones will be here. Now, Ralph's got the showbiz. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls. Before I get to the showbiz news, I do have, where are my cameras? What's going on over here?
Can
I have
your cameras? No.
There we go.
There you go. Sorry, that's my bed.
Come on, people now.
It's my bed.
Before I get to the showbiz news, I've got something very cool to give away. As you know, Comic-Con is coming up this weekend down there in San Diego at the convention.
We are going to Comic-Con in San Diego.
Oh. Best weekend of the year. Very cool things happening at Petco Park there in San Diego, of course, where the Padres play. They are taking part of Petco Park and turning it into a zombie apocalypse.
Love it.
The folks from The Walking Dead are changing part of the entire ballpark into an initiation and preparedness area. Then there's an evacuation zone. There's a decontamination zone. The zombies chase you. They try to eat you. And you have to climb and crawl and hide and slide your way to safety. It's good. It's a really fun event. It's called the Walking Dead Escape Live the Apocalypse. You have to check it out. And
what does it mean they try to eat you?
They try to kill you and eat your brains.
Oh, okay.
Just like zombie do.
That's not good.
If you'd like to go, I have got a pair of tickets right now, 1-800-520-1067. This will get you into the Walking Dead Escape in San Diego. If you're going to be down at Comic-Con, this is definitely something you're going to want to check out. So call now, 1-800-520-1067. Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes have officially reached their divorce settlement. That was quick.
Come on.
Only a few details released so far, but apparently the proceedings went off without a hitch.
That was the, I don't want anything dragged out into the public.
Yeah, we're not getting into a courtroom and talking about this situation. I think Tom gave her whatever he wanted, basically. Here's what we know so far. First of all, you can tell by the statement, which is, we are committed to working together as parents to accomplish what is in our daughter's best interest.
Right.
Followed up with, we stress respect for each other's respective beliefs. Which what? Means Tom gets to be a crazy spaceman, and Katie gets to believe in the guy, the magic guy in the sky. So it all works out. But here's the thing. Suri will be left alone. Apparently, part of the agreement is that she will live in a religiously neutral environment, at least at this point in her life. And then as she gets older, they'll both be able to share their views on religion with her, I suppose. But for now, hands off. Hands off the kid when it comes to religion. So I think that was probably the biggest.
Seems like that was the breaking point.
Yeah, the biggest hurdle they had to get through. I wish all celebrity
divorces could be as amicable. Laura Dern, who is married to Ben Harper, she had called off her divorce earlier this year so they could reconcile and work things out. Well, she's done reconciling, and she has reactivated their divorce. The actress is now asking for the primary physical custody of their two kids, a joint legal custody. She wants spousal support, child support, and money for legal fees. So, sounds like Laura needs another movie. Johnny Depp. Rumors are now that not only is he dating Amber Heard, but he actually left his longtime girlfriend Vanessa Paradis for her. That was the thing that broke up that relationship.
She's a good deal.
Amber Heard?
Yeah. She's ridiculous.
She may be like the hottest actress working. Every time I see a photo of her, I'm like sort of breathless a little bit when I look at how stunning she is.
Yeah, she's absurd.
Vanessa Paradis apparently, now according to the National Enquirer, by the way, is telling friends that Amber stole Johnny away and she is absolutely distraught, angry, and humiliated. Has no plans to forgive Johnny anytime soon and has warned Amber to stay far, far away from their two children. So that sounds amicable. Sounds like that's a good situation.
By the way, this is how much of a baller Johnny Depp is a lesbian gives up girls to go out with him.
Oh, yeah. You don't resist the Depp stick.
Yeah. Today, oh, no. I'm totally vegetarian. Oh, wait. I didn't know that meat was on the menu. That's what's happening here.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Peter DiStefano of Porno for Pyros is 47 years old. Sofia Vergara from Modern Family turns 40 years old. Adrian Grenier of Entourage fame is 36. Thomas Ian Nicholas, who won all the American Pie movies, he's 32. Speaking of which, American Reunion with our buddy Jason Biggs and Allison Hannigan, that's available on DVD today if you want to check that out. And singer Jessica Simpson celebrates her 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Right now it's time for our next guest.
Hi, I'm John Jones of the UFC. The kid is extremely talented. He can kick and punch from any direction.
Oh, my goodness! Big elbows from Johnny Bones Jones!
When was the last time we saw Matt Hamill get tossed around in a fight? Probably only by John Jones. I mean, he's really that good.
And now Jones looks really taken down by John Jones.
I'm definitely becoming more confident, and I believe in myself. You have to believe in yourself to fight one of the toughest men in the world. That's just how it goes.
This kid's on just another level. Look what he did to Shogun. Look what he did to Machida. Those are two guys who are dominant over a lot of dudes. And John Jones just ran through them.
It is all over!
I'm ready to get into the octagon after that intro. My God.
Man,
hey, Mr. Jones.
You got to be careful listening to all that stuff. It can get you cocky.
No kidding.
It should.
Before we talk to you, Lisa, I've never seen you attack a guest and hold on and refuse to let go like you did this morning with John. What's up?
Well, I just happened to run into him in the office, and I said, you know, get up here, man, and give me a big hug.
Right.
And then I wouldn't let go.
And then John's like, how long does this hug last?
I said, show me your wrestling techniques.
A little jiu-jitsu, some guard passes, maybe.
It got awkward for a moment there. John is here because this is a huge, huge week because UFC 151 is going up on sale this Friday at 10 o'clock through Ticketmaster. Low ticket, by the way, only $100 at the Mandalay Event Center, going all the way up to $800. And this is your next fight against Dan Henderson. How are you feeling about that, man? You're looking ahead. You got a few months to go, but still.
Yeah, I am so excited. The fight is about 6 weeks away, and just really excited, dude. Dan Henderson is a guy who wrestled on the Olympic level. He has, you know, extreme knockout power. He's a world class athlete. And
those are all the reasons why I wouldn't want to fight him.
Oh, no, that wakes me up in the morning. I love it. You know, Dan also, he's won world championships in every other fight promotion on the planet except for the UFC. So I know he's extremely motivated to try to win a UFC world championship, and it's simply not going to happen. So I think you guys should just, you know, watch the whole process.
So he's won in Pride, and he was what, in Strikeforce also,
Strikeforce,
right? And the Olympics.
Pride, yes.
Mm-hmm. But isn't he like, no offense, because he's a worthy competitor, but isn't he like 50? I mean, how old is this dude compared to you?
He's 41, I think. And, you know, normally in a combat sport, that's not, you know, the typical age to be successful. But this guy just seems to be coming into his own late in his life. And, you know, we're all proud of him. You know, he's a role model to men all around the country. But, you know.
I've seen guys hit him with punches that would knock anyone down, and he just stands there.
He stands there, yeah. The guy has a chin on him, for sure. I wouldn't recommend that way of going, just for, you know, maybe after, if you ever want to do anything else after fighting.
Sure. But. Is it difficult for you to be 6 or 7 weeks out? Like, is that... drive you crazy?
Oh, no way.
Let's get to it.
No, I love the time. You
do?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, fighting, there's just so much more that goes into it than the night that we all see on pay-per-view. You know, you have to be so prepared mentally, spiritually, physically. And right now, I'm in that process of, you know, bringing out my best self. So
tell us about physically. What are you doing right now?
Physically, you know, I train 4 times a day.
Four times a day, every day.
Only
four? Only 4 times a day?
Well, you know, I'm a little lazy.
Explain a day.
Yeah.
So a day, you know, I usually wake up around 9 o'clock and I'll get my first martial arts session in, and it's usually something live, like a live wrestling match or a jiu-jitsu match or a kickboxing match. And then by the afternoons, I'm resting, eating really healthy. And getting prepared to do either like a swim class with this high school swim team.
Now, let's talk about that just for a second. Go swim with a high school, with the same high school swim team.
It's a little weird, too, yeah. Because you got 16-year-olds beating your butt at something, and it's just not cool, you know?
It's not cool at all.
Yeah.
Hey, bastard, slow down.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm an athlete here.
And they love it, too.
How did you pick that team, that pool, that
and why swimming too? That's not a usual part of most of the guys' regimen,
yeah,
right?
Swimming is something that is you know, it tests a lot of your like just mental toughness. I'm not a good swimmer, so you know, swimming, you have to keep your composure, you have to keep good form, and it's something that I'm not good at, so I just like pushing my mind in different ways.
It's supposed to work every muscle in your body, though, too. That's one of the things, right?
Absolutely.
And super low impact.
Yeah, I believe if you can swim and stay composed and, you know, work with fatigue and being out of energy, you know, in the water, when you're on land, you should be able to tough out pretty much anything.
But I'm guessing if I'm a high schooler... And I beat you, and you look at me, I go, okay, I got it. No worries.
Yeah, slow down, kid.
It's all you next time.
Yeah. All right, so that's thing two is swimming. So a little martial arts in the morning, then you do some swimming, yeah, then you take a couple hours off, then what?
And then I'll do a kickboxing class or like a private lesson, just talking about strategy and martial arts with different different teachers. You know, mm-hmm. there's no live action there. It's just, you know, educating the mind. And then at night, I'll usually do like some shadow boxing or doing some type of studying with like my teammates. You know, we get together and we figure out all of our opponents' tendencies, and it's just constant repetition of the same.
Is that the best process part of this? Because it seems like UFC fighting is 99% training.
Yeah, it is.
You know, 1% of actually doing it.
Absolutely. You know, all the fights are won or lost in the gym leading up to the fight, and the actual fight itself is the easiest thing you do.
It is.
Oh yeah. You know, and a typical training day, where we have like these sparring matches where you'll have like 5 or 6 of your different teammates, and they'll take turns coming in each round, so you fight a different guy every round.
That's fresh.
And you know, they're top level athletes, you right. know. So when you fight the same guy every round and he's getting tired, and you know, you guys are getting tired together, you know, it's just a lot easier than what you go through in practice.
Yeah, that makes sense.
This is the voice of John Bones Jones here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about UFC 151. That's happening Saturday, September 1st in Las Vegas at the Mandalay Event Center. Tickets are going on sale this Friday. You are 16-1.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you think about that one, John?
You know, I don't think about it at all. I think everything happens for a reason. You know, I definitely
had...
It was
an illegal elbow, right?
Yep, illegal elbow. You know, I definitely had the intentions of, you know, being undefeated in this sport. You know, because I train my butt off and work extremely hard
at
it.
Yeah, but so does everyone else,
by
the way.
But I'm just so magnificently passionate about martial arts.
So you just kind of write that one off.
Yeah,
just...
I wrote it off. I did a move that was illegal, and I learned from it. I was still pretty
young.
So
it's not like the other guy beat you. You kind of beat yourself in that one,
no,
right?
he was in pretty bad shape when the fight was stopped.
That fight was over, and then that happened, and everybody's like, what?
Devastating.
Yeah.
You've been a boxing fan even before there was a UFC. You know, you go way back. I know that Muhammad Ali, I've heard you speak on him so passionately. Is it weird for you to wrap your head around when people say that you're pound for pound the best or one of the very best fighters in the world? I mean, can you even conceive that they're talking about you as a fan of the sports?
You know what? I can. Only reason being is because, you know, I started getting really big compliments when I first came out, and it was kind of like all I knew. And at the time, it just inspired me to work even harder to make it factual. And so now that I'm here and, you know, top two fighter on the planet, it's just a testament to hard work, dedication, persistence, tenacity, will, all that
when
stuff.
When did you win the title? What age were you?
I was 23.
23 years old.
Yeah. Youngest guy to do it.
And at that point, now all of a sudden every fight is five rounds.
Five rounds, yeah. I'm like,
you don't get the three rounds
I know, the toughest guy, the number one contender. I'm like, man, I don't know about this whole championship
it's
thing.
It's always the number one contender, so it has to be the hardest road to go. I mean, it has to be harder to stay on top than it is to get there.
Absolutely, but you know, I heard from a movie once that they said it's the hard that makes it great, so I embrace it.
Why is Dan Henderson your challenger this time around? How was that fight selected? Why him?
Well, you know, he was actually he was on honorable mention for Fighter of the Year last year. I got the Fighter of the Year, and he was, like, right up there. He had one of the best seasons of anyone's history. He beat a guy named Fedor Emelianenko, a guy who had never lost. And he also beat Mauricio Shogahua, a pride great. So he's coming off a phenomenal year, and he's just deserving.
There you go. All right. John Bone Jones is here.
Please. Again. Just call me Bones.
Bones. Sorry. Bones is here. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. if you would like to see UFC 151, which is Bones versus Henderson. And we'll take a break.
If you ever run into a John Bones Jones at a party, talk to him. The guy's got some great stories. I'm telling you. This has been fun.
Oh, yeah.
Bones is in studio with us. He is 6'4", 205, 84.5-inch reach, and he is the champion of the world, light heavyweight champion of the world in UFC. UFC 151 is coming up at the Mandalay Events Center, Las Vegas. Tickets are going on sale Friday morning at 10 o'clock through Ticketmaster. As we have said millions of times before, see the UFC in person. Go see it in person at least once.
Oh, yeah.
The energy in that room when you guys crawl up into the cage, man, is unbelievable.
Speaking of which, I wanted to ask you that question. What is it like from dressing room to ring? Like, what's going through your mind? Everybody's high-fiving, the music is playing.
And what's your jam?
Oh, man, I have several different jams. I love the song God Gave Me Style by 50 Cent. It's a song that I feel like I relate to. But anyways, the energy is like, it's through the roof. You know, the UFC, it's a really big deal for us to make sure the fans have really close contact relationship with fighters. So we do more appearances than any other any other athletes. And even when we walk out to the cage, you know, boxing and other sports, you can't touch the athlete, you know, 30 seconds before world championship fight, right?
Sure.
But the UFC keeps the fans very close to
everybody's high-fiving.
So everyone's high-fiving, they're ripping, they rip your head off, and, you know, and so you just feel all the energy in the room, and you just take it all in, and your music's playing, and this guy's standing there staring at you with his shirt off, all muscular and ready to knock you out. And it's just the ultimate rush, and, you know, it's just like, I mean, there's no sport like it. You know, my brothers are both NFL football players, and they say that they're, you know, 10 times more nervous for a UFC fight of mine than any game they've ever been in. Absolutely. It's just the ultimate rush. It's as real as it gets. As a
Do you have any other brothers besides the two that are in the NFL and you?
No, it's just three.
Because I was going to say, the accountant is really just going
to
take a beating.
Wouldn't it suck to be him if I did?
It would really suck to be him.
Let me ask you this. You are the opposite of a guy like Chael Sonnen who loves to trash talk all the other fighters.
Yeah.
Why so positive? And do you think that helps you? Because it kind of makes you so, I don't know, so fuzzy and likable, it seems like. Like, it doesn't make you seem as tough when you're nice to everybody, including your competitors, all the time.
That's funny. You call me fuzzy.
Fuzzy. I don't look at you and think fuzzy.
I do have a nappy afro right now and a nappy beard.
But you know what I'm saying is you're just so darn nice.
That's funny.
No, you are positive. You're always positive.
Yeah, positivity, optimism and things. I think it's important. I think there's nothing bad that can come from it. So
when you talk about Hendo, you don't talk bad about him.
No, because I respect him. Anyone who get in there and risk that embarrassment that you can risk. You know, DVR nowadays, you get knocked out, it's forever.
Yeah.
So I respect anybody who has the balls, if I can say that.
Sure.
To get in there and do that.
We have seen your prominent biblical quote tattoo on your chest before. And
right, I say balls.
That's on the other side.
Tell me how important your faith is as a UFC fighter. Does it help you?
Yeah, my faith is really important. You know, just all the messages that I've gotten from the Bible growing up is just—it's all just positive. Even if you don't decide to believe in Jesus Himself, it's just all positive stuff, and it helps me out a lot. You know, my tattoo is you know, Philippians 4:13, and it says that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So, you know, what that means to me is just to give my best intentions, be the best example of a Christian that I can be, because ultimately we're all sinners. And, you know, if you do that, and if it's God's will to give you success, then, you know, it's all possible. Success is limitless.
Now, you've had some downtimes, and has that been difficult? Have you been frustrated by that? Because it seems like you have put a tremendous amount of work into this positive image.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, I've fallen and come short, but, you know, we all do, and, you know, ultimately.
Right, but when you do,
right,
it's the biggest story in the world.
Right.
When I do, no one cares.
Yeah, you know? What being a Christian is really is just being a sinner, and it's not that you're going to, you know, be sinless because we're born sinners. You know, it's just to try to sin less, you know? So you know.
Did you just come up with that? Because that's great.
No, I've heard it before, but maybe it sounds smarter, didn't it?
Now, did you watch? I heard that you were an Anderson Silva fan.
Huge.
You watched the fight?
Absolutely.
Why did he come into it? Why did both of them come into a country song?
You know, I don't know.
What was that about?
I don't know.
They both came in. Chael Sonnen came in. There was some weird country song playing. Uh-huh. And then Anderson Silva came in, and there was some weird country song
playing.
Wait,
are you sure?
Yes!
I don't know.
I was freaking out.
Anderson got confused temporarily. That's funny. Two wound up in his opponent.
So you're a huge fan. What did you think was going to happen in that fight? Did you know for a fact?
I knew Anderson was going to come back and win in a dominant fashion. You know, Anderson pretty much got dominated for 24 minutes of a 25-minute fight,
yeah,
and he came back and showed
the
heart.
Was that a wake-up?
Yeah. Well, I don't think it was a wake-up. I think there were some things that came in the factor with why he didn't perform at his best. Maybe he needed to, you know, be woken up and have someone push him like that. I mean, yeah, he's extremely dominant. But Anderson showed the heart and will and tenacity of a true champion, coming back and winning with 1 minute left. And I knew because he's Anderson and because he's such a great champion that he would make all the necessary adjustments and be way more dominant in his second outing. And that's exactly what happened.
He's another guy who seems like the nicest person in the world.
He is sweet. He has his little soft voice.
He has a really, really wussy voice. He does. I wouldn't tell him that to his face, yeah, but he really does talk
right. Anderson Silva. Yeah, he's the man, dude.
Bones, you're still so young. Is your plan to just, do you want to fight for 10 more years? Or are you a guy who's going to, you know, try to figure out a way to retire early and then just enjoy the rest of your life not getting hit in the face?
Yeah, absolutely. That's my plan is to, you know, rack up as many championships as fast as possible. I'm still young and in my prime. And
still pretty.
Still pretty.
He called you fuzzy and pretty.
Yes.
Just for the record.
Hey, I got a little bit of a crush.
I'll be at the Ritz Hotel if you want to come by.
I'm moving in on your man here, Lisa. Sorry.
No, I'm
going
to have to fight you for him now.
Well, that's funny. September 1st, he'll be here before you know it. As you mentioned, Bones, it's only about 6 weeks away or so. Mandalay Events Center, Las Vegas. Tickets are going on sale this Friday morning at 10 o'clock. It's so worth it. $100 is the cheap seat, up to $800 through Ticketmaster.com, and it's you versus Henderson. So great to have you in on the Kevin Beach Show, man. We really enjoyed the time.
Oh, man, the pleasure was mine, man. Thank you guys so much.
If you're a slacker like many of our Kevin and Me listeners and you're just waking up, you have not yet heard the world premiere, the brand new music from The Killers. We'll be playing it again for you coming up here in just a couple minutes, or we have it available for you at krock.com. Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday. What's going on?
However, if you've been awake any time the past 5 hours, you've heard it many times, The
Killers
song.
That's true.
Well, that's the other side of the coin.
We've covered it.
I'm just saying. This is the
first day it's ever been heard.
I'm just saying.
All right.
It's been out there.
We're literally the only radio station in America that has it, so why not play it for the kids?
Literally.
That's true. That's true.
I'm just double checking.
All right, back to you.
I'm going to run to the drink store. Everybody need anything? I'm going to pick something up for myself. Everybody want anything from the drink store while I'm there?
Where is the drink store
cola,
that you introduced us to?
Some water, some Gatorade. They got everything. The drink store. Anything you can drink, they have it there. I'm just saying. The drink store.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Kevin introduced us to the drink store earlier today, and I can't get over it.
I didn't get
I'm
much
obsessed
sleep.
With the drink store.
Back to you.
All right, back to me. Before I get to showbiz news for the final showbiz beat of the day, I do have some more tickets to give away to our special advanced screening of The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah! Oh, that looks so good.
And I know my Dark Knight Rises. Every time I think about this movie, that's how excited I am about it.
Yeah.
It's got a little cape and everything.
Keep moving.
It is in theaters everywhere on the 20th of July. You'll get to see it for anybody else on the 18th, though, if you are one of the first three callers at 1-800-520-1067 that can answer my trivia question. In the Nolan trilogy, we have not seen hide nor hair of the Boy Wonder, of Robin, of Batman's partner and sidekick, a longtime close friend, Robin, the Boy Wonder. But my trivia question has to do with him. The first Robin, of course, there have been several. The first Robin
And my personal favorite, of course, was Richard Grayson, Dick Grayson, who was the young ward of millionaire Bruce Wayne.
Obviously.
I need for you to tell me the name of the acrobatic act that Dick Grayson was in the circus with his parents, with his mom and dad. The name of their act in the circus. They were acrobats in the circus. That's how that's how Dick Grayson learned his many skills. I need to know the name of their act in the circus. Do you know this one? Yeah. Well, keep it to yourself. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call.
Thanks for
Girth.
Thanks for that input, though.
You got it.
That was very helpful.
In case it helps anyone there at home, Beer Mug knows this one. If you can somehow psychically link into Beer Mug, then you too will know the answer because he says he knows it.
By the way, I just Googled the drink store. There is a location in the UK that sells beer and wine.
That's what
and spirits.
I was talking about.
It's called the drink store. It's a place you can go to buy drinks.
The one in the UK.
Kevin is obsessed with British drink stores. He's a big, big fan. He's got a poster up in his rec room.
Does it look like we have them in America yet, though? Maybe this is your franchise opportunity you've been looking for, Kevin, is the drink store.
You know, I heard your friend LaQuisha talking about the Keeping Up with the Kardashians
last
night.
She loves it so much.
The new reviews are in for Scott Disick's restaurant in New York City.
Do not tell us it's good.
New York Post published this review this week. It's Ryu is the name of the restaurant, R-Y-U. And it got, out of a possible 5, 0 stars.
That isn't good for you.
Yep.
0 out of 5.
A food columnist for the New York Post called the food close to a saloon menu, and the drinks were watered down with flat ginger ale, he complained in his review. So Scott may not be the restaurateur of the year. That's all I'm saying.
Love it.
Rosie Huntington-Whiteley.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
Has made some enemies.
She was in The Last Transformers, for those
of you. She was in The Last Transformers. She was supposed to be the host of Project Runway All-Stars, but she pulled out at the last minute. Literally before they started filming, days before they started filming, because she wanted to co-star in the new Mad Max movie. She got an opportunity to be in the movie, so she just walked off the project, which upset many, many people.
She didn't have a contract that she
didn't? She backed out of it, apparently. Huh. It doesn't say. I'm sure she did have a contract, but it looks like she broke it. Turns out Carolyn Murphy, now the model Carolyn Murphy, will be the new host of the show. Producers said they were prepared for Katie Holmes to cancel. She was supposed to be a guest judge on that show, but after she announced her pending divorce with Tom Cruise, they assumed she would blow them off and not make a personal appearance. She showed up to be the guest judge on that show.
I would assume now she can do what she wants.
Last week. And,
so she will.
Only 4 days after filing for divorce, she did show up, and she acquitted herself nicely, and she said she was kind to everyone on the set, and she did a great job for
How
them.
How about that?
So it's nice to see that Katie Holmes is class act, and Rosie Huntington-Whiteley is a lying whore.
How dare you?
I'm just saying. And congratulations to the publishers of 50 Shades of Grey. This week, the book crossed the 20 million copy mark.
Yeah.
Was this in the news? Sold 20 million copies in the U.S. alone. Now, keep in mind, the Twilight series had similar numbers, but it took them 3 years to sell that many books. 50 Shades of Grey, less than 6 months, 20 million copies.
Wow!
So chicks dig porn. That's the
takeaway
here,
we're finding
right?
out. There are a lot of lonely women out there with cats and things that run on batteries that need something to read. And I'm going to start writing now because apparently where the money is.
If you look at the New York Times bestseller list this week, number one is 50 Shades of Grey, and then number two is one of the other books in that series, and then number three is another book in that series, and then number four is the box set of the three books in that series. That's the 1, 2, 3, 4 sales right now.
Nuts.
Wow. It's crazy.
And Nadia Sulman has announced
The Octomom.
The Octomom.
Yeah.
Of course, she is a baby-making machine. We know that. She's an adult actress. She's now about to become a pop star.
Nope.
TMZ.com is reporting that Global Groove Entertainment has signed her. Oh, she signed with Global Groove? You really have to be talented to get a record deal with Global Groove Entertainment.
Overruled!
Her new song is called Get on the Dance Floor.
Nope.
That's original. It's set for release on August 1st. We might have to wait till August 1st before we hear Get on the Dance Floor.
None of
That'll
this
be the
is
next
true.
Big Kevin Amin world premiere.
Nadia Sulman, apparently. It doesn't just sing, but raps as well on the track. So everyone tune in on August 1st. We'll be bringing you some sounds from Get on the Dance Floor. Could there be a more generic title?
No, there couldn't.
I can't believe Jennifer Lopez didn't use that.
So,
what's more horrifying, her rapping or her doing porn?
That's a good question.
Porn is a full assault on your eyes and your mind. Rap,
yeah, this
just
is just
ears.
An assault on your ears and your mind.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Either one.
Yeah. And really quickly, before we get to the answer to my trivia question, I do want to give you a heads up. If you're a Slash fan, he is getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame today.
Awesome.
Right in front of the Hard Rock Cafe on Hollywood Boulevard. It's going to happen at 11:30 a.m. today. If you want to stop by and see Slash get inducted into the Hollywood Walk of Fame, he'll be there. And Charlie Sheen is one of the speakers.
What?
Welcoming him in, along with producer Robert Evans. Interesting. Hmm. Interesting friends.
Does Axel have a comment on the star?
I'm so glad he got it, but I still don't like him.
Time magazine picked him as the second best electric guitar player of all time.
Now they're top 10.
Wow.
Above Eddie Van Halen, which I find interesting.
I think he would be in the top 10. Number 2, they said.
But 2 is pretty high.
Behind Jimi Hendrix as number 1.
Huh.
All right, let's see if anyone knows the answer to my trivia question. I need the name of the act, the acrobatic act that Dick Grayson was in when he was a kid in the circus. Lane?
Hi.
Hi, Lane female. Hi, a female named Lane who knows things about comic books. Very nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you, too.
I need the name of the act at the Haley Circus that Dick Grayson was in.
It was called The Flying Graysons.
The Flying Graysons, of course it was.
There you go.
Congratulations. You are getting to see The Dark Knight Rises before anybody else on the 18th.
Oh, wonderful.
Hold on. We're going to give you all the details.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Congratulations also to Guy and Finau. Finau? Is that a name? Today's celebrity birthdays. Sofia Vergara celebrates her 40th birthday today. Peter DiStefano from Porno for Pyros is 47. Adrian Grenier from Entourage is 36. Thomas Ian Nicholas from American Pie is 32. And Jessica Simpson celebrates her 32nd birthday today with 32 different cakes. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we have Adam Carolla on the program.
Yeah.
We have comedian Brad Williams on the show.
Mm-hmm.
He's the little guy that stole our April foolishness.
And we wish he'd give it back.
He apparently got hit by a bus.
Well, that's not the first time.
I'm not kidding. He's been hit by a car like 4 or 5 times. So
hard to see him.
Bounces around.
We were saying
like a Super Bowl.
Maybe a little person not be out in the street much. Hard to see. Brand new internet roundup tomorrow. We got Matt Money Smith talking about NBA free agency, which begins tomorrow. And we have your tickets for Comic-Con. Tomorrow on an all-new Kevin.